జయం విశ్వపాద బ్రహ్మహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నతలీలా ప్రవిష్టం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామి గుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి ఓర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ 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 గురువంశీ గురాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి ఇది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఖయ చక్షురుణ్మీలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాంబియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం ద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినిది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణి. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తిసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామిని శ్రీవర్షభానవీదేవి దైతాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం గాయితే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాభ్య శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తి శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపనూక విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంభోదే పదాంబుజాయదే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయదే గౌరావిర్భవభూమేస్త్వం నిర్దోష్టా సజ్జనప్రియాః వైష్ణవసార్వభౌమశ్రీ జగన్నాథాయదే నమః. వంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరద్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామీం భక్తసాత్వికం. హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. జలదాం సురదౌభాంగోర్ మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ. వివృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమద్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధా శీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీవటతటస్థితాః కర్షాన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోవేర్ గోపినాథాశ్రయే స్తునాహం. తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಮದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣ ಪೂರ್ಣಂ ಉದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಂ ಆದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಂ ಏವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ ಶಾಂತಿ ಮಂತ್ರ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ 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 ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಈಶೋಪನಿಷತ್ ಈಶಾವಾಸ್ಯಮಿದಂ ಸರ್ವಂ ಯತ್ಕಿಂಚ ಜಗತ್ಯಾಂ ಜಗತ್ ತೇನ ತಕ್ತ್ವೇನ ಭುಂಚಿತ ಮಹಾಗೃದ ಕಸ್ಯ ಸಿದ್ಧನಂ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಸೊ This particular mandram, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, it has created a lot of interest in many thought thinkers' mind. First of all, if you look at that verse, you will see the first two lines, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam Yat Kinchat Jagatyam Jagat. In other words, there is nothing exists in this world except Ishvara, Krishna. Cover everything with Krishna, because that's what it is. Isn't it? Isham Vasyamidam Sarvam. In Sarvam, who is Vasikin? Vasana means one who lives in all, in everything, is Ishvara. Ishvara, Krishna is present in everybody, in everything. That's what it means. Isham Vasyamidam Sarvam. Everywhere, one who is present in everything. That is Krishna, Supreme Lord. So, Isham Vasyamidam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. That Jagat exists only because he is present in everything, therefore the Jagat exists. But if you look at the next two lines, you will see Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrada Kasya Siddhanam. Now here is the interesting thing. The first two lines to spoke about a very big principle that Krishna is present in everything, everywhere, and only Krishna is present, nothing else is present. After saying that, in the next two lines he says, Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrada Kasya Siddhanam. Therefore, one is a very high principle. The other one, Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrada Kasya Siddhanam. In other words, knowing everything to whom it belongs to, you should only accept what is minimum necessary, or you should not steal or take somebody else's property or wealth. Now, these two principles, they are on two different planes, isn't it? One is a very high principle. Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkinja Jagatyam Jagat. After saying that, why is it said that Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrada Kasya Siddhanam? This doesn't look very fitting, because a person who understands Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkinja Jagatyam Jagat, he doesn't have to be told Tena Tektvena Bunjida Magrada Kasya Siddhanam. Isn't it? It doesn't look fitting there, because a person who has reached that state, Ishavasamidam Sarvam, he is on a very high state. He is definitely not going to do Tena Tektvena Bunchida. He doesn't have to be told that you should not steal others' property or others' wealth or anything like that. Doesn't have to be said like that. So this has been the question among many thinkers, why these two things have spoken like this. So that is where the answer comes. So, Sarvam Brahmamayam, everything is Brahmam. Krishna is covering everything with Krishna. And then next line says, don't desire for anything from anyone. So, he says, requires Magrada Kasya Siddhanam. So, here, actually, what the sages intend to say was this, that the commentary on that is, Gridhimam Kankshahi, that as long as you are in that state, you are not broken up. You are in a perfect state then, when you are in the state of Ishavasyamidam Sarvam. Because then you have reached the perfectional stage. that everywhere your realized state you are seeing things, isn't it? In a realized state you are experiencing the world. Ishavasamidam sarvam. That is the important thing, that it is a realized state. It's a state where you understand that there is everything else is Krishna only is present in everything. Ishavasamidam sarvam. Then as soon as you say Magrida Kasasil Dhanam, it comes a question there, there is someone who has broken off from that and individually and separately he is desiring something at that point. That comes in, isn't it? At that time. So the question comes that who is that person who is asking, who wants to enjoy the other things in this world? Separately from, without forgetting about Krishna's presence in everything, and who wants to separately enjoy anything in this world. Only such a person will desire things from others, isn't it? Only one who wants to enjoy. So, Magrida Kasasya Dhanam, the question comes, who wants to do such a thing and acquire wealth and to enjoy in this world? But as soon as you accept that, there is a karta and a bhokta, as soon as there is a doer and an enjoyer, immediately that completeness is broken. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the completeness is that if you are realizing Krishna's presence in everything in this world, it is complete knowledge, it is perfection. But as soon as you break away from that, that karta and bhokta comes, only then this question of magrida kasasil dhanam. Tena tektene bunjida, magrida kasasil dhanam will come. So, specifically, you have to desire something or some desire have to develop within, which means that you have fallen down from that state to the lower state. That's what it means. You've fallen down from a very higher state to a very lower state. As soon as you break away from that understanding, from the realization that Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat, from that state, if you fall, then there is an enjoyer, there is a doer, and there is an enjoyer. These two things come in, and that means their state has changed. You have come down, fallen from that state. So, the moment you give up doership and enjoyership, then you become infinite. So, these two things, doership and enjoyership, is very difficult to give it up. We may say so many things, I'm not the doer, I'm not the enjoyer and all that. But in reality, to get rid of that from inside is very, very hard. That I'm not the doer. As soon as you start action, karma in this world, identity with I am the doer will come. And I'm the enjoyer will come. That you cannot avoid it. That is the way it is. And the whole of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is only talking about this one thing, to tell Arjuna that you are not the doer. See how much he had to speak about that to get that point across to Arjuna. Arjuna hasn't understood to a large, very, only later on he sees that in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna was trying to get rid of that from his head, that he is the doer. You can see, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasajin, in the 11th chapter says, isn't it? You are only a cause of it. You are not the doer. But it won't go easily from Arjuna's head. If it doesn't go from Arjuna's head, what chance has it got us? Then how to get rid of it? So, to get that point across, it's very difficult. I am not the doer. I am not the enjoyer. Because when you come, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will follow that. So that is the very greatest difficulty in spiritual life. Even after making a lot of austerities, performing penances, performing even chanting holy name, performing deity worship, performing all kinds of acquiring the knowledge, everything, still that doesn't leave you. It holds on to you still. Again you will say, oh, I have chanted 64 rounds today, I have chanted 128 rounds, I am chanting still, I am the one who is doing it. That doesn't leave you easily. It's the most difficult thing to get rid of in spiritual life, that I am the doer. Some people you can see, when they speak, there will be every two words, there will be I after that. I will follow. It is difficult for them to take it away from them, that I from there. So I concept is so strong in us that Magrida, Tena Tiktena Bunjida Magrida Kasasil Dhanam will happen as soon as you fall from the state of that completeness of Ishavasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat. That is why it's spoken like that. That it is the state when you fall down from that Akhandam. Akhandam means unbroken state. Unbroken means pure consciousness. That one consciousness existing in everyone. When one realizes the presence of the truth in everybody, that means perfection in realization. From that state, when you fall down to that broken state, I am individual jiva, fallen, separated from the truth, and I got to suffer in this world, I have to enjoy in this world. All these identities, acceptance along with that, this all follows that. So therefore it says there, that magrida kasusil dhanam. So, infinite illusion, separation arises from that. Separation arises from that. So, so this state where I am, never allowing that to come up inside, that is a perfect state. That existence of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. But if you keep on giving attention on that I, who is waking up inside all the time, and declaring his independence, or declaring his that he is the one who is running the show, or he is the doer, that thinking has to move away from here. So you know that kartrutva bhoktrutvam is followed by aham mameti. Aham kartrutvam is I am the doer, and bhoktrutvam is I am the enjoyer. It is followed by aham mameti. That means I am the doer and it's mine. The result is mine. Aham mamedi. Janasya mohoyam aham mamedi. Who says that? Rishabhadev says that in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Janasya mohoyam aham mamedi. Whole world is running on the principle that the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And along with that, the deep-rooted perception inside that I am aham and it is mine. That comes from that. So that's what he's saying here. So so this problem, that realized state where you are not affected by this, realizing Ishavasyamidam Sarvam Yat Kinjat Jagatyam Jagat, that state, and Tena Tektene Bunjida Magrida Kasyasil Dhanam, where you have fallen into the state, you are seeing yourself as a single unit, experiencing this world, and doership, enjoyership, all these things. These two things won't work together. They cannot work together. That is, so in order to execute this vyavaharam, this business in this world, little by little you have to leave the that state. You have to come out of that state to some extent. So that is why it says, you can see this also, if you look into the life of the great personalities, and how this consciousness can change in ordinary people. For example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Shankaracharya goes and stands near the Ganga River, they looks at the Ganga River and glorifies her like anything. Glorifies her like anything. There is Gangashtakam, 8 verses glorifying Ganga Devi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed every day in Ganga River, and sang Haribol in standing in the Ganga River. So when they saw Ganga River like this, a scientist comes and stands there and says it's H2 and O2. Isn't it? He sees Ganga River as H2 and whatever that H2O or whatever it is, hydrogen and oxygen. He's seeing like that. And now, because they have fallen from that state, they can't see that state where where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Shankaracharya is talking about Ganga River, they can't see that. They are seeing Ganga River from a completely different level. For them, it always remains as hydrogen and oxygen. So this problem will come. And as much as it goes into bad state, now they have started, factories have come up now, packing Ganga water and selling it. So it's come to that state now. It has gone down and down and down. It has come to that state now. They are seeing Ganga River just a little water that they can take home. And they consider that. So a business is centered around that. They developed everything nicely. In the earlier days, they won't do that. They will not pack Ganga River and sell the water to all over the world. That was not done. It was not considered to be good. So for this reason only, that Ganga's purity and Ganga's position, who is she? What's her connections? All these things are forgotten. Whereas Acharyas will see them not as hydrogen, oxygen, they will see Ganga River as coming from Krishna's lotus feet. That's how they see it. So therefore they sing, praising Ganga River, so many verses to praise Ganga River for this reason. So But in order to do all these kind of things in vyavaharam, in transactions, you have to come down from that state, isn't it? Even if you are in that state, if you want to sell Ganga water, you have to come down to this level to think that, oh, it is marketable, it's saleable, and it has to be packed in the bottles and sold at a price which you can make some profit out of that, because nobody does anything without any profit, isn't it? So all these things are there in that to take around. So therefore it is said that those who have realized souls, they will stay in the first two lines. They won't worry about the second two lines in this verse. What is that? Ishavasamidam sarvam etkinja jagatyam jagat. And that is very particular about it, that they are saying like that, that anyone who has reached that state, he does not have to worry about anymore anything, acquiring wealth or stealing others' wealth or anything, any activity like that, he is not implicated in that. This is Acharya Swamiji's opinion on that verse. He considers that if he is in the Ishavasamidam sarvam yatkinja jagatyam jagat, there is no question for him to perform any karmam afterwards. There is no karmam involved anymore for him, because he is in that state and he insists on that. But some other people say, some other Acharya's opinion, that they can sometimes engage in some vyavaharam transactions for some time, depending on their prarabdham, if they still have some prarabdham to go through. So these things cannot be given a very specific answer to this question. This has to be, one has to oneself experience that state and see what happens at that time. There's no definite answer you can give, because the Acharya Swamiji's position is like this, that if you have realized the state, there is no question of karma after that. Karma is finished for you. You will not come down again to engage in vyavaharam. And prarabdha karma will not drag you down, because he considers so much importance to the jnanam, the knowledge side of it. That is, Ishavasamidam sarvam etkincha jagatyam jagat. He has reached that state. Some others are opinion that even if they have to engage in some karma, that according to the prarabdham, if they have to do for vyavaharam's sake, they can come down from that level to a lower level. Because it is impossible to do vyavaharam, you know that, completely, fully staying in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? We all know that. As soon as you start vyavaharam, immediately there is problems, isn't it? Then you start thinking, what can I do? So you have to do it. So that comes there. So, tenakaktena bunchidam. So, therefore, their opinion is that give up this ignorance and make it as a sacrifice and enjoy it. Make it as a sacrifice. Tena tektvena bunjida. That means without desiring to enjoy any results, continue the activities what's necessary in this world. In that way, if it is carried out like that, don't desire anything here particularly. Whatever happens in this world by Krishna's arrangement, let it come, accept it. If it doesn't come, don't run after that. This is the conclusion for that. So that means, therefore, without thinking about it, kartratva bhoktratvam, without present in anything, only realizing that only Krishna is present in this world, and there nothing exists outside Krishna, and it is Krishna who is running everything in this world. This consciousness we have to reach. We have to reach that state where we see that in everything Krishna is living. Krishna is present in everybody. It's Krishna is doing everything. And it is getting done through me. Whatever that's happening, it's done by Krishna through me. It's happening in that way. And I am not the person who is doing it. It's Krishna who is doing it. When the results are coming, do not accept it in that state that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Rather, you have to accept it that Krishna has sent the results in this way, and therefore no more further complaints about it. No further complaints about it. And this is this knowledge should stay inside. In other words, there is nothing separate, because as soon as you fall from that state that only Krishna is present in this world, what will happen is I exist, you exist, he exists, somebody else exists, all separate existence, all we have to recognize. Although all these different bodies are also the same consciousness that has broken up into all these different bodies, isn't it? It has come into existence. So this is what the Ishopanishad's first mantra talks about. Now, as much as we have discussed so far, he said that Atma Yadharthya Prakashakattvam. That means that emphasizing or establishing the soul, that is the first principle. Atma Yadharthya Prakashakattvam. That means our original identity is Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Swarupam. Eternal, fully pure and fully conscious and also always liberated. That is our proper state. And there, that word was used, Ashariratvad, isn't it? And that is the most interesting of all the different features of what was spoken about the soul. We talked about the soul, Shuddhatvad, Ababa Vidhatvad, Nityatvad, Egatvad, and ultimately he said Ashariratvad. That Ashariratvad is the one which attracts everybody. Is Ashariratvad. Why is that? Because in Ashariratvad, what has happened there is the source of all unhappiness in this world is our body, if you really look at it. All the distress what you are experiencing in this world is only because you have this material body. Isn't it? We identify with that body. Body gives its own trouble. Body invites other trouble also from others. Because you have a body, that's why you are in trouble. That so many else people wants to give you trouble, or you want to give trouble to others because they got the body. So all actions are happening on the bodily level. But a liberated person, he is Ashariratvad. He is not accepting the body anymore. Or while living in this body, he is not in that body anymore. Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks to Uddhava at this point very strongly. While living in this body, how to get out of this body? Which is important. That is the whole principle of Vedantam. It's based on this understanding. While living in this body, how to stay out of this body? If we can reach that state, Krishna says, you have escaped from here. You will not have to come back again and go through another body. Whereas, and there that Uddhava, he spoke to Uddhava very much in length about it. So this thing is, so nobody can, as long as you have a body, it is very difficult to say, I am liberated, isn't it? It's difficult for us to say, I am liberated. That is the logic of many people. They'll say, you still have the body, how are you saying you are liberated? How can you say you are liberated? So they will ask this question, if you say you are liberated, Brahman realization has happened to you, Aham Brahmasmi has come to him. Do you not still have to eat? They will ask this question like that. This kind of questions will come from there. And suppose I pinch you, will you not feel you pain? They will ask this question. Isn't it? I will pinch you, but will you feel pain? And why are you saying that you have become Brahman? They'll say. So this is where the whole problem starts. That's where the whole problem starts. If you have not understood what Krishna is talking about, you will get immediately reject the philosophy. You will immediately reject Vedantam. You will not be able to accept Bhagavatam. Krishna is trying to make us understand that point in the Bhagavatam as well as in this Upanishad Mandram also. What he is saying here is that that this experience of I am not this body is not from the intelligence. It's not from the intelligence. It's not invented by intelligence. For example, there are many personalities who did not study any Shastram. Due to their purva vasana, that means previous life, what they have cultivated spiritually, that followed them in this life very strongly, and the result was that they themselves conducted experiments in this world. Experiments in the sense that they followed strictly the understanding, I am not this body, lived that life and they realized it without the help of all the Shastram. Shastram came later to them. There are many examples in the history like that. They did not take Shastram seriously. What they did was, Purvavasana was there in them. That means from previous life, that strong push from inside, it's a big thing in life, that push from inside. We don't have that push. That's why we need all the Shastram. So if the push is inside very strong, without even waiting for the Shastram, at the early age in life, they left home, walked out, went to some forest or went to some isolated places and cultivated this knowledge, I am not this body, very strongly within themselves. And they got released from this body at some point in life. They got released from the body. And if you look at their life later on in life, you can see that the rest of their life was all based on that principle, that they're not this body anymore. So, that understanding can also come through the books. Because people can take from the books, from Upanishads and all, learn it and then practice it and realize it. That is also possible. All the Acharyas are in that category. They go in that direction. They have wrote the commentaries, famous commentaries on all the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram and all. They wrote on that principle and then they displayed that quality in their own life to others. They spoke about it and they practiced it and it was visible to everyone else who observed them at that time that they strictly complied with what they wrote in the book. It was not like university teaching. That's the difference between Acharya's teaching and university teaching. University is theory has been taught. Whether you follow it, that's your sweet will. It's only for examination. But here it's not like that. Acharyas are saying, that's why that word Acharya is important, that he practices it and proves to you that what he has studied from the books, what the commentaries he wrote, all is justified in his daily life, in the way they present themselves in this world. So when that has happened, then the Acharyas are saying they are absolutely free from the body. In Chandogya Upanishad, there is a statement about that. What happens at that state? It says that Makhavan Martyam va idam shariram aptam mrityunam tad asyam hridasya sharirasya atmano adhishtanam atho vai sa shariraha priya priyabhyam navai sa sharirasya sada priya priyayor avahadirasti ashariram vava santam na priya priye sparshadaha. This is a Chandogya Upanishad's one statement. Ashariram vava santam na priya apriya sparshadaha. When you reach that state, freedom from the body, you're completely released from the body, ashariram, that state is called ashariram, without any body, ashariram. Ashariram vava santam na priya priya sparshadaha. Priyam apriyam. Priya means that gives you happiness. Apriyam means that gives you unhappiness. Priyam and apriyam cannot touch you anymore. Happiness and unhappiness na sparshadaha. It will not touch you anymore. That is that state. That means when you release from the body, freedom from the body happens, these two things, priya apriyam, does not happen to you anymore. Ashariram vava santam na priya priya sparshadaha. It says. So why does it say like that? A person who is in the body, if you look anyone, including any every one of us, we have got what is priyam apriyam, isn't it? Something we happy, something we are unhappy about. Which means what? Ragadvesham. Next thing. If we are happy with somebody, unhappy with someone, then there is ragam and dvesham. Definitely after that. Then the pleasure and pain. So, it is impossible to get out of this trap. It's not easy. As soon as you see someone on the street, suppose somebody is known to you, immediately it creates a chalanam inside, movement inside. We know that, isn't it? Either you like him or you don't like him. It is very difficult to be unaffected by the result of that. Doesn't matter who it is. We all go through that, isn't it? We have an immediate reaction to that person. Somebody whom I like, somebody whom I don't like. This will happen inside. And that movement is a very difficult trap to get over. It's very difficult to trap to get over. So what Chandogyam is saying is there, if you can remain as ashariri, that means without this body, then this priyam apriyam will not happen. So that question comes, how can I remain in that state, ashariri state, ashariram vava santam? Because what material body is there, what can I do? So this is where Vedantam is talking to us. Where is this body? Body is in your ignorance. It is not in the soul. Isn't it? Where is this body we are identifying with? This is an interesting concept from the Vedic way of thinking. That we keep saying, I got this body. Who has got the body? Body is in the ignorance of us. In our ignorance, the body exists. As far as soul is concerned, no body exists. This is the first principle. Very hard to digest, isn't it? When somebody says to you, you don't have a body, how would we react to that? initially, immediate reaction from us is, I think there is some crazy statement that you don't have the body. But Vedantams, if you really accept this and understand it properly, what it says there, please hear this very carefully, because it is a principle in the Vedic way of thinking, because we have lost it. We have to still learn everything very hard now. It wasn't like that before. In our Swarupam, Vedantam is saying, in our pure identity, there is no body. There is no body existing in our identity as the soul. Soul is untouched by the body, untouched by the mind, untouched by the intelligence, senses, ego, everything. None of them exist in the soul. But whether we are experiencing that or not is another thing. We will not discuss that now, but that is, it cannot be explained properly to anyone, because this thing exists only in experience. When you experience only, you will accept it. If I tell you theoretically, you won't accept it, because for you, what is important is this body at the moment. But this body doesn't exist for the soul. The body doesn't exist. That's the first thing. So, let it come at its own time when we'll experience that. So, but this yukti, this logic from the Shruti, from the Vedam, if that gets in, you can escape a lot of trouble in this world. If this logic of the Shruti, Shrauta Yuktam it's called, Shruti's Yukti is called Shrauta Yuktam. That Shruti means Vedam. The Yukti or the logic of the Shruti is like this. That if you understand this reasoning, that first thing to accept is, this body has nothing to do with the soul inside. Soul is not existing because of this body. And as far as the soul on its own is concerned, this body doesn't exist. The body doesn't exist. It is only in appearance in nature that this body exists, but it is not in you. You see? It doesn't exist in you. When you say, when you address a person in the spiritual platform, the body doesn't exist there. But in the appearance it exists, in your ignorance it exists. Isn't it? In your ignorance, this body exists. That is what is called avidya. Avidya. We are talking about every day, we sing avidya, avidya. We don't even know what that avidya is. And then still we are singing the song. Isn't it? You know that Sri Charana? What's that verse? The Guru Charana. Guru. We all sing very nicely in the morning. Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Satma Bandomoyi Savadhana Madhi. And if you keep singing that, later on he says, Chakudana Diloye Avidya Vinashayate. That's one. Remove the avidya. What is that avidya? This is the avidya we are talking about. That, and that only Krishna's mercy is required there. Because Divya Jnana Hrude Prakashito, he says. Divya Jnanam. That knowledge, reveal that to me. Hrudaya Prakashito, inside. Please reveal that inside. Why? This avidya is ignorance, is this. That what I don't have, I've gone and caught hold of that, this thing called body, and I'm thinking I'm this body. So in our Swarupam, body doesn't exist. That is the first thing to recognize. If we don't take that on board, it is very difficult to develop spiritually. Spiritual life is centered around our understanding also, isn't it? If you wrongly understand, continuously thinking, I am this body, and I want to realize the self, how is it going to happen? It will never happen. Whole life, I am worshipping my body, looking after my body, and attached to the body. And then I'm also saying to Krishna, I want to realize the self, I want to go back to God, and I want to go to the spiritual world. All I'm saying to him, Krishna is saying, then you leave your body and come, what else can I tell you? But you want both, this world as well as the material world and spiritual world. That's not possible. So that's why it said that the first thing, that it is not in you. Which one? This body is not in you. Then you will ask the question, what is the proof for that? Proof is there. When is that? In the deep sleep. This is what's happening in the Sushupti. In Sushupti, in deep sleep, you don't have the body. Isn't it? You're not at all identifying with the body. To prove it to you that the soul doesn't have this body. In Sushupti, at least you know, you can accept that. The soul doesn't have a body. And I am staying, living in that deep sleep state without the body. I live without the body. So, even at the time when your body is experiencing severe pain, or even if you have lost your part of your leg or hand, something like that, as soon as you go to the deep sleep state, you will have the same fullness, isn't it? Even if you have lost part of your body, once you are gone into deep sleep state, what's happening there? You are still not, you're full at that time. You're complete. You're not feeling the presence of your body at that time. That part of the body has gone. Nothing is affecting you at that time. That is the proof. That's the proof. So every day Krishna is proving to us that you are in ignorance. That is why you are suffering. That is Krishna's point. That you are identifying with the body, which you are not, which is not in your pure identity as the soul. Soul is Nityashuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupa, pure, conscious, completely liberated, and always Buddha conscious and liberated, eternal and pure. That is the nature of the soul. Body doesn't exist there. Body exists in our ignorance. This is the principle. If you accept it that way, then you can deal with the body. Otherwise, you can't deal with the body. If you start thinking, I am this body, then how can you deal with the body? So there you have to break that very clearly. In my pure identity, so body doesn't exist. Body exists in my ignorance. In my ignorance, the body exists. That is why great personalities who are totally realized souls, they will never see your body anymore. They have no value for your body. If they start seeing your body and talking to you about your body, that means they have to come down to that level to talk to you. None of them will inquire from you about the welfare of your body. How much are you suffering? How much, what disease have you got? Or anything like that. They won't talk about it with you. Very advanced, realized souls. They won't discuss. When we meet, what the first thing we do? We inquire about all the medicines what we get, whether Ayurvedic, allopathic, or homeopathic, or naturopathy, or this pathi, that pathi. Except Jagatpathi, we will talk about all the other pathi. Krishna is a Jagatpathi, and that is the soul. And that pathi we won't discuss, but all the other pathi, other treatment, all will go through one after the other. So this is where you can see the difference, where it's coming from a spiritually conscious person, how he would talk about. It's amazing thing this is, because if you look at it this way, then as soon as you go into the deep sleep state, you have the same fullness. And that is the thing. But another important thing is, even if you look at it from the modern scientific way of looking at it, so where is this body? From the science point of view, they are saying the registration of the body is in the brain. In the brain, that you are feeling the existence of the body. They have not come to the Upanishad's conclusions yet, but they are also confused a little bit about it. For example, sometimes say you have got your leg amputated or went to sleep in the night, and suddenly the phone rang and forgotten that your leg is gone. And you got up and started walking and you fell. Only then you realized after falling down that, oh, I didn't have my, that leg has gone. Why? In the brain, it is not registered yet that the part has been taken out. It takes time, because after a long time, you will start identifying with the body in that way. Earlier, before the leg was amputated, you were always thinking in terms of the complete body, isn't it? So this registration that I am this body with all these features of legs, hands and everything is somewhere in the brain. And that is why when you come from the deep sleep state, this is when it happens. From the deep sleep state, when you wake up and suddenly the phone rang and you went to pick up the phone, you've forgotten that the part of the body was taken removed. That has not registered yet, although operation has happened and the part of the body has gone. And there are many instances like this that people have reported this is what has happened. So science is saying to us that that the body, the existence of the body is within, registered somewhere here inside us, but not on the soul. So even the science is accepting that there is somewhere inside this body that registration is there. Because they don't accept the soul, they will say it is registered in the brain or in your memory or whatever they call it. But it's not on the soul. Because they don't believe in the soul, so many of them have not proved yet existence of the soul. But for us, we know, who are following the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that in the soul,
this body doesn't exist. Body exists in the memory, or body exists in the brain. We call it memory, brain, whichever way you like call it. Because Krishna is saying that all these things called buddhi, memory, all these things is coming from me. When Krishna says from the soul, it's coming. Isn't it? That soul is Krishna there. So, you know that verse, isn't it? Nashtasmrita apohanamja vedischa sarver ahameva vedyo vedanda krudvyata videva chaham. Sannivishto matasmrita jnanam apohanamja. Smriti, jnanam, abohanam, all these things are coming from me. So, scientists are coming to that understanding that smriti, it is in your smriti or in your brain somewhere where they allow the smriti is developed. That is where the body is, not in the soul. Even they agree on that principle. So, first thing is not to accept that this body is in me. Body is not in me. In me means in the soul, body doesn't exist. That is the first principle. And this point, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. We have discussed this also in the Bhagavadam. If you remember, in the canto, it was in the 11th canto, the 11th chapter it was. Krishna said this to Uddhava. Uddhava, this is the whole secret of this, he says. The way Krishna puts it to Uddhava is that this is the whole secret of this, he says. The secret is this, he says, that dehastobi na dehasta. That state, that is an important state. That how do you get there? That is, first of all, we have to accept what Krishna is saying. If you look at the verse 11.11.8, he says, dehastobi na dehasta. Vidvan sopnad yatho tidaha adehastobi dehasta kumadi sopnadragyadha. This is that verse. Dehastobi na dehasta. If you come to that state, dehasta, one who have escaped from that state, from the body, that means if this knowledge that the body doesn't exist in the soul, if you have realized it, what will happen is, even though you are in the body, you are not in the body anymore. Dehastobi na dehasta. Yeah? Dehastobi na dehasta. Vidvan sopnad yathotidaha. And Krishna gives the example like this. That as soon as you wake up from the dream state, that dream what you are experiencing is not a reality for you in the waking state anymore. Isn't it? It's not a reality for you when you wake up from the dream state. Similarly, when you wake up from this state at the moment where we are identifying with the body, but you wake up from that and come to the realized state, then you are not in that body anymore. Just like when you came out of the dream body to the vacant state, how the dream body is not a reality for you anymore. Similarly, when you wake up from this body to that state, what Krishna is talking about, that the body doesn't exist in the soul, dehastobi na dehasta, Krishna says, vidvan sopnan yathothita, that it is exactly like that sopnam state, one who has woken up. And after saying that, Krishna says, another interesting thing in the same verse, adehastobi dehasta. On the opposite side, he says, someone who has left the body, he has gone away, but he has not left the body. Why? He says here that kumati sopnadrigyatha, for him the body still exists. He is thinking he is this body. So what makes this body, its existence real or not real? How you accept it. It's based on that, this body's existence. That's the beauty of that, isn't it? When you know this, it's a big relief that I don't have to live with this body forever. Isn't it? That it's not in me. Right now, Krishna says you can escape from this body. Right now, provided you accept this understanding. So, dehastobi na dehasta, vidvan sopnad yathotida. Adehastobi dehasta. Somebody is dead, left the body and he has gone. But what is he thinking? Oh, I lost my body. He has to come back here. And this is the reason I mentioned before that when you people die, the earlier times, they will immediately burn the body so that
he wants to come back to this body again, and the desire will be there in him. Oh, I lost my body, I lost my body. He'll be even if the body is absolutely useless, completely useless, still he wants it back. You see, adehastobina dehasta vidwan sapna yadotida adehastobi dehasta kumati sapna durgyatha. For him, this body is a real thing, although it's a dream. From the Vedantam side, this body is a dream. It's only a dream. It is standing here now, sitting like this, just like a tree standing there. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. We give so much, we decorate it with all kinds of things, and we paint it, we make it attractive looking, and we go to gym, give all sides of sauna, all kinds of things we do to keep this body somehow going, isn't it? But why waste time, Krishna is asking, with all these things, which you are not. that's the point. So naturally, to take the attention away from the body to the soul, we have to know this. That's why I say, dehastobina dehasta vidvan sopna diyadhotida adehastobi dehasta kumati sopna dargiyatha. For him, it is the reality. This dream is the reality for him. Kumati, therefore it's called kumati. Kumati means who's has got the crazy intelligence, bad intelligence. He will accept it that way. So Krishna said this to Uddhava in the 11th chapter. If you remember, in the Ekadasha Skanda, there he spoke like this to Uddhava. And it's the same principle coming back here, that while living in this body, if you have managed to get rid of that ignorance from inside, then you are freed from that. That means in your experience, body doesn't exist. That state has to happen. In your experience, body doesn't exist. That's it, has to happen. That's why ashariram shariremva anubhavaste avastitam mahandam vibhu. In Kathopanishad also the same statement will come. Kathopanishad says like this, that the when Nachiketas asked this question to Yamadharmaraja, Yamadharma spoke about this in the Kathopanishad, isn't it? Ashariram sharirashwal avastena avastidam mahandam vibhu atmanam matva dhiro na shochati. He said that. Nachiketas was told by Yamadharmaraja. Yamadharma says, ashariram sharireshu. The same thing what Krishna is saying in the Ekadasha Skandam, same thing spoken in another language. That's another language means other words. Ashariram sharireshu. Then while being in the shariram, in the material body, ashariram, no body, that state. While being in the body, no body. All acharyas were like that. If you have seen, even if you observe their activities on the YouTube, they have put certain things about all the Ramanuja, Madhva, Shankaracharya. You look at them, the way they were moving around in this world, no body exists for them. No identification with the body at any time. Why? Completely fixed on the truth. That's their strength. That means wandering around the length and breadth of the country and establishing their Vedic understanding of, I am not this body. That is their success. That's their success. So when you see that in a person, practical life, you have to accept it. You have no choice. Isn't it? Someone comes and talks about it. And it's not talking that in real life they are showing to you that the body doesn't exist. Body is not a reality. That's why it says here, ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthidam. That it says here, having mentioned, written soul as bodiless in the midst of body. Ashariresu, ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu, anavasteshu avasthidam. It exists, but it doesn't exist for them. For us, it exists. For them, it doesn't exist. As permanent in the midst of the impermanent, and as great and pervasive, the wise man does not grieve. So, mahandam vibhu altmanam matva dhiro na shochati. It's the same verse like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Dehinosmin yadha dehe komaram yuvanam jara tadha dehandara praptir dhiras tatrana mukhyadi. These verses must be drilled inside, and it should go in heavily inside. Otherwise, just repeating the verse is not good enough. So, that's why it says here that even if you... once that is fixed up means that established firmly inside that this body doesn't exist for me, then you move in this world, it will be a different movement at that stage, full of freedom. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from fear when you move in this world in that consciousness. People will look at you and show you all, they'll make remarks and everything. But if you look at Jadabharata, look at Rishabhadev, look at Dattatreya Maharshi, look at so many of them, Sudev Goswami, they are all in that state. Ashariram, no Shariram, as far as they are concerned. Each one of them, if you look at Jadabharata's state, Jadabharata had never asked for any food. And they were sending him, his brothers, they said that he is useless, he's not doing any work. And one who is not working is not entitled for any benefit. That's his philosophy. Their philosophy says, like now, they say, isn't it? Some or the other, we have to make everybody work in this world like an asshole life. And so they're saying that, oh, he's not working, so why should we give him? We will give him peanuts, that he can have that. So they were washing the uradal and everything, and that water they were sending him. But inside there is Krishna sitting there. When the water, uradal water was coming, it was turned into nectar for Jadabharata's purpose. He was taking it. This is what he has got today as the offering. That's how he was saying that. Inside, the super soul, Krishna is present there. For him, this is what I got to offer. I'm offering it. That's how he was taking it. Naturally, it was turned out to be the nectar. That is spirituality, isn't it? Realization like this. So Jadabharata's life is like that. Dattatreya Maharshi has said, whatever, one day I will get the best food in the palace with somebody. Next day I'll be lying down the street, somebody will come and throw food at me. If I get it, I'll eat it. Some days I may not get any food. That statement is mentioned there in the Bhagavatam. Punjana, swadu, asaduva. Some days it's very tasty. Chapati, sabji, sweet rice, halwa, everything. And some day there is nothing. Nothing, starving. In all these states, no movement inside. No chalanam inside. That is that state. Why? Ashariram Sharireshu. Not in the body anymore. Only when you are in the body, you will think, oh, today I had a nice feast yesterday, but today is not so good. Prasadam is not so good. We'll complain about it, isn't it? Why? We are in the Shariram, that's why. But they have reached that state, Ashariram Sharireshu. Or Dehastobina Dehastha. So we have to get that state. That is what Krishna is stressing here. That till you reach that state, you have to experience all the miseries of this body in this world. And you can carry that misery to the next life also with you. It won't go away from there. So that is why it's... And example is Sushupti state. That without the body, you can be happy. You can be experience the happiness in this world. So it is the most interesting phase here. So, but when after self-realization also, sometimes you will have a little difficulties in this world. Even after that. Because of this. Then... but inside, if you are peaceful with this concept, with this understanding, and inside if you know I don't have a body, and inside if you know that I am fully liberated, then it is possible that this can happen outside also at some stage. First thing, you have to fix it up inside, not outside. This firm concept or firm understanding must happen inside first. That I don't have a body. And the body is only there, just like a tree standing, the body standing there. I will look after it because my ignorance is not allowing me to come out of it. Therefore, I'm looking after the body. I'm not free from my ignorance yet. Therefore, I have to do something to maintain this body. Till I get out of this ignorance. And that ignorance, you won't leave it straight away. Day one, it is not going to happen. So that's why it says, till we get fixed up, that I'm eternally liberated, and that experience comes to you, that state is called Jivan Mukti. When you get to that state, you are called Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means you are liberated right now in this body. So this particular principle is a very difficult concept from the science point of view. Science find it very difficult to accept that. It's a completely unusual thing. That sometimes we say, you know, heard about this phantom limb. This is a phantom limb, isn't it? A person who doesn't have a leg, he feels scratching there. In that place, he's feeling the scratch. He's feeling that he has to scratch there. Because he has no other leg, he can't scratch there. But the feeling is there. That is, it is in his brain. It is there inside. So,
although you have accepted that physically that the leg doesn't exist, the brain hasn't accepted it yet. So you are still feeling the scratch of the leg in your brain. In your brain, you are feeling. So okay. So whether your body exists or body doesn't exist, the brain decides all these things. From the science point of view, the scientists are also amazed by this understanding, because earlier they were thinking that everything is very straightforward. Now they started realizing it's not that straightforward as they thought it is. Started seeing many, many doctors and all, if you talk to them, you will see they are also pretty perplexed about this body, the way it functions and the way it cures from illnesses. As I said before, that they go to deep sleep and stay a few nights good sleep. Many serious illnesses people have come out of it. And that surprises the doctors as well, without any treatment. So they also know that they have limitations on this treatment and everything, how much it can have any impact on this. So this is a very unusual and completely amazing experience this is. So if you put the reverse logic of this, you can see, if you are really convinced in your intelligence that there is no body, even though the body may appear in the world, in your experience plane, you will know that you are bodiless. If you put the reverse logic. Earlier we have seen that the body does not exist in the soul. You cut the leg of or any part of your body, and still it is not registered in the body. It is still exists for you. In your identity, it still exists. So that means this bodily identification is like that. That you are identifying with the body in a particular way. And that does not change very easily. And this knowledge of the soul and identification with the soul is a separate thing. We have not managed to break away from the body. While in the body, while identifying with the body, you are still thinking, even when a part goes there from the body, still you are registering inside, the part is still there. That's the way you are behaving in this world, in other words. So, if you are really convinced in your intelligence there is no body, suppose in the brain that experience has come, there is no body. Even though the body may appear in the world for others, in your experiential plane, that means in your experience, the body is existing, you will know that you are bodiless. That is also possible. That's what science is also coming to this conclusion now. You see what I'm saying? That if you're inside, it is registered that you are bodiless. Even if the body is doing things in this world, and inside you are registered, you don't have a body, you still think if something is happening in the body, you'll think you are bodiless. You have no body. So, your consciousness will wriggle itself from the grip of grip of the body. You see, it is the consciousness that is connecting the soul and the body. Consciousness is that is connecting the soul and the body. So, if that registration happens inside, that I'm not this body, then consciousness will take control of it and take you out of this body. It's a very, it's something which you have to give a lot of time to think through it. Give some time and allow to work through and see yourself that we have lifetime identified with the body, isn't it? That's where all the problem is. It's a completely overhauling our realization, our understanding, that all other identification with the body, philosophically Krishna is saying that it's completely your, that Krishna calls it as ajnanam, avidya, or ignorance in us. Yeah. So to remove that ignorance, the positive side has to be presented to them, isn't it? You have to be told what's the right thing. So Krishna is putting it in various ways in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita also, that the consciousness, which is the symptom of the soul in a person, it is that consciousness that controls your identity with the body or the soul. Yeah. So if your consciousness is identification with the body, then you have to go through all the miseries of this life. The consciousness is an identification with the soul, then the body can never touch you. It can never give you any trouble at any time. At any trouble, any time. This is the beauty of that.
This is a very interesting topic in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is why at the same time, while living in this body alone, I'm saying I'm not this body. Isn't it? We have to reach that state. Yeah, I may be in this body, but still I should be able to say to others, I am not in this body. A state has to come. Through consciousness it has to happen. Through consciousness it has to happen. When we say Krishna consciousness means all these, then otherwise what does it mean? Oh, I'm just remembering Krishna for 5 minutes a day. I was Krishna consciousness for 5 minutes. I was Krishna conscious for 5 minutes. That's no use, isn't it? That Krishna conscious for 5 minutes only to get rid of my bodily problems or bodily needs. I was Krishna conscious for 5 minutes. That is not a Krishna consciousness what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is talking about this Krishna consciousness where you have managed to come out of your body and come to the platform of the soul. That is the Krishna consciousness he is talking about. That's why I say, and therefore, that consciousness which is identifying with the body, that's why earlier it was called Loka Buddhi Siddham, Karmani Vihidani. Isn't it? Loka Buddhi Siddham it is. That comes from the Loka Buddhi. From the Loka Buddhi, identification with the world, Karmani Vihidani, from the karmam that has been allotted due to that. That is, it's happened. So, accepting that ignorance in us, it is then that it is a Sharireshu Avastitam Mahandam Atmanam Manadhigo Nagopiri. Actually, this body is only an appearance in the soul. It's only an appearance in the soul. So, knowing this, we have to accept it like this, that this material body, this material creation, the world, all the objects in this creation, they are all present in that soul. In that soul, all these things do exist in the soul. Everything, remember, from the soul came everything. Creation happened from the soul, isn't it? Similarly, bodies have come from the soul. Different bodies, different forms, different names, these are all products from the soul it has come about. But soul is the basic from which everything has come about. And if this thing happens, then ashariratvam yathatmyam cha atmana shuddhatva ababa viddhatval. It says like that, isn't it? That the, look at that this thing. It says that. Yadhartyam chalpmana. That if you accept this yadhartyam. Yadhartyam means the truth. What is that altmanaha? That soul is shuddhatval. It is pure. Ababa viddhatval. It has no, I don't know what to say in English. It doesn't have any black mark on it. It doesn't have any black mark on the soul. Soul is always pure. Sometimes what happens is religious people, what they do? Oh, you are a very sinful person. You are sinner, 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 sinner. They keep on repeating and then you start thinking, I am very sinful. Isn't it? It becomes like that. And that, there's a trap. That is a trap. And then work the whole life to come out of that guilty feeling. That I am a very sinful person, Prabhu. I have done so many sinful activities. Now I am very pure. But neither that statement nor this statement has any meaning. You see, Atmatval, Shuddhatval, Ababa Viddhatval. There is no pabam or black mark on the soul. And Egatval, there is only that soul, consciousness exists. Nityatval, and he is eternal. Shariratval, and he has no body either. And Sarvagadatval iti vakshemanam, and he is present everywhere in all circumstances. This is the nature of the soul. And so Krishi is knowing very well our state, have made this to understand that if you take this seriously, then the chances of that you will not fall into ignorance. That's why they are saying this. They are saying here that the ashariratval. Ashariratvam, that is what they caught on. It is from ashariratvam, all the other qualities have also accepted. Isn't it? If there is ashariratvam means no body. If you have shariratvam, body is there, then all the other things also be there. So out of all these things we mentioned, അപാപവിദ്ധത്വാൽ ഏകത്വാൽ ശുദ്ധത്വാൽ ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് അശരീരത്വാൽ ഇസ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് തിങ് ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് അശരീരത്വാൽ യു ആർ ഫ്രീഡ് ഫ്രം ഓൾ അതർ പ്രോബ്ലംസ് ആസ് വെൽ നാച്ചുറലി കം സ്ട്രേറ്റ് അവേ സോ ദ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻസ് ഓഫ് സെൽഫ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി കൺക്ലൂഷൻ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് സോ ഇഫ് why that word is given importance, this is important to know this, because so if that possibility is not there, then I cannot reach that state in this life, which means ashariratvam. Ashariratvam means able to live in this world, in this body, not in the body, that state ashariratvam. That means I'm in this body for others, but for me I'm not in this body, that state. If I cannot reach that state in this lifetime, all these Veda Upanishads are all bogus. What is the use? What's the use of all these things? Because Vedam and Upanishad, they are very particular about that. Right now in this world, before death, you have to get the truth. Not after what will happen. After death, what will happen? Who knows? This is the difference between Upanishad knowledge and the knowledge from the other literature. When I say other literature, I'm talking about those who say about after death, self-realization happens. After death, going to heavenly planets. After death, enjoying elsewhere something. Or after death, something will happen. They say all these things. Upanishad's argument is the other way. Upanishads are saying, right now, in this body, if you cannot experience it, that ashariratvam, what is the use of that after death, what will happen? That is open. You can't ask me tomorrow after you left your body. I've told you so many things. After death, you will go to Golokam. You will be there permanent. You'll be given an apartment, all facilities, everything. And when you go there, you didn't go there. I'm not going to be worried about it, isn't it? You're gone. You can't ask me anymore after that. Can you? You can't ask me anything after that. So there is a hitch there when you say this to people, that Prabhu, you will go back home, back to God, and you'll go here, go there, and all. That's all very fine. Krishna has also said so many things about that, about this abode and everything. But spiritual life, if I can't have it here today, after understanding the importance of the soul and my identity as the soul, if I can't experience here today, what's the point in all these things? This is what Upanishads are asking, the question. Bhagavatam says that all the Upanishad Gayandiyam Samaga, including the Upanishads, they talk about his glory. Whose glory? Krishna, the soul, his glory. There's nothing else they talk about it. So that question will come at that stage. So because the interesting thing is that if it is all false, these Upanishads and Vedas are all false, then you have to take the shelter of a scripture like that, which tells you that after death you can have it. And you can probably live in this world with that understanding that, oh, I cannot do anything in this life. This life is finished now. And sometimes they will say like this, this life is gone like this. At least next life let me live better. What does that mean? It means he wants to come back again here to have another life. Isn't it? That's why that is coming from. This life has gone like that. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't become a guru. I couldn't become a GBC, or I couldn't become this. I couldn't become that. At least in the next life, if you start thinking like that, that means you want another body to come back here again. Upanishads are saying, finish up the business right in this life. You should not be necessary to come back again. That way, realize the self. In that process, realize the self. That's why Upanishads knowledge is acceptable to even to atheists. They say, yes, it makes sense. It makes sense to them. Atheists, they may not follow it because they have other problems, but they can accept this principle that right now I have to get it. Otherwise, what's the use later on? Not a thing for the future. For the future. So, and if there were no people, realized souls in that state in this world who have realized their truth, then... So, if it was not there, then we can't accept these Upanishads and Vedas also. It becomes difficult. Why? Because these people who have lived and realized the truth here in this world, in this body where they were living, and they have realized the truth, that's the proof that Upanishads and Vedas are correct. If they were not there, then there is a problem. Isn't it? Then again, it is like the other statement, oh, it is possible, it's possible. But we have ample examples in this world who have realized it and lived their rest of the life in that state. Many examples who have lived in this world and showed to us it is possible to stay in that state. It's possible to stay in that state. Otherwise, all these Veda Upanishads also becomes a burden. We'll start questioning that. So otherwise we'll think they are also ordinary people like us, fallible human beings. And they also may have made a mistake. And if they are not truthful, what value have it got, their words have got? So that's why it says that Atma Yathatma Prakashanam. Sorry. So in the introduction itself it is said, Isha Vasamidam Sarvam Yatkincha Chakatyam Chakat. Tenatyaktvena Bunchida Ma Ghrida Kasasil Dhanam. So this one verse, through this one verse, the whole truth was spoken. This is all we have to know in spiritual life. That you see, it is like this, that what we are seeing now is the world. We are not seeing Krishna, isn't it? We are not seeing Krishna. Realized soul, what do they see? They see Krishna and they don't see the world. We don't see Krishna, we see the world. In the same thing, they see Krishna and they don't see the world. That is the shift in our position, the change that has happened in the realized state. Before, you can only explain these things in this way. The responsibility or duty is on our shoulders to get that state, how to reach that state. That cannot be explained through words or anything. That has to be practiced by reflection. It has to happen. So we are seeing, we are not seeing Krishna, we are seeing the world. We are seeing the world. But realized souls, for them the world doesn't exist, they only see Krishna. Krishna means Ishvara. Ishvara means Ishavasyamidam Sarva. So they see only Ishvara, we only see the world. That's the difference. There is a famous book in which Trimula has written that book. He gives an example like this. He says in that book, a father brought an elephant, wooden elephant, for the child and gave it to him. A wooden elephant. And the child sees that elephant, he thinks it's the elephant, real elephant. He sits on the elephant, plays with the elephant all the time, thinking it's the elephant. A wood merchant came that way, and he saw the elephant, and he took some knife or chisel and scratched the wood to find out what kind of wood it is. Isn't it? For him, elephant doesn't exist, wood exists. Is it not? He sees it as purely as the wood, what it is made of, what's the quality of the wood. That's what he is looking at. The child is not seeing the wood, what it's made of. He's only seeing the elephant there. He's seeing that form. The other one is seeing the material, what it's made of. Similarly, Krishna has made this world of five material elements. And because of Krishna's presence, we are experiencing this world. We see the material elements. We don't see Krishna there. The realized souls, they see Krishna, they don't see the material elements. That is the main difference. So, that means that in the realized souls, when they look at this world, the five material elements have disappeared. For us, Krishna has disappeared. Material elements are there. That's where the difference is. So, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. So, when you start seeing Krishna, material elements you don't see anymore. And this is what we call as material existence. We keep saying, isn't it, samsaram, samsaram. We sing the song, samsara dhava, ananali, dhaloga, nicely with all the kathal, mudanga, everything. We make a music out of it. But what is samsaram? This is samsaram. Samsaram means seeing this world in which is not in its true. Samsaram exists when you see the world as material elements, five material elements. Or in different forms and shapes, names and forms, all that is samsaram.
existence of material existence that is. But when you see Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat, then you don't have samsaram anymore. Material existence doesn't come anymore. So, so the meaning of this word samsaram means, one of the meaning is that which is continuously flowing. It is flowing all the time. Ever changeful. Jayena gachadi. Jayena jayate gachadi. That means it's going on constantly and also it is changing. These two attributes. In this world, if you observe carefully, everything is changing all the time. And it's a continuous flow, isn't it, happening here. A lot of people you find now, they will all be gone after a while. Another set of group of people will come and they will have their philosophy and they will live their life. And they will also go, another group will come. So this constant flow of everything, not only people, animals, birds, trees, plants, everything. Constant flow happening. That is why it's called samsara. That's why it's called jayate gachadi. Jayate gachadi. So, so when you are here, tishtadi iva, that's all it exists here. What's interesting here is that when it's there, you will think it's there always. This is the beauty of that. When it's there, you think, oh, it's always like this. You start thinking like that about this world. Isn't it? But what's normally happen is we take birth, then we change, and then again we take birth, and again somebody else is taking birth, again there is changes happening and constantly changing. It's constantly changing. For example, a child is born. So imagine a child is born, 2-3 years old, goes to school, changes. After some time, finishes his education, gets a job, gets married, and then what happens? He has his children. So he has changed. Another child has come. And then he starts his life. In this way, this continuous cycle goes on all the time. So today, and this is what is called that change that's happening. Shad Parinamam. That continuous change that's happening in this world. Shad Parinamam it's called. So Parinamam means this transformation. It's always happening. And in the middle, today you are happy. And tomorrow some distress will come from nowhere. Uninvited. Where it will come, you cannot say. It will come from somewhere. And you can never say about that. And sometimes you are crying about the distress. And tomorrow this crying is all finished. You are smiling then after that. So like this, this whole life goes on in this way. One after the other, one day after the other, it is happening. This is why Jayeta Gachadi Jagat Tushtadi. It is why it is called Jagat, because of this. Jayade Gachadi. That means it is going, coming, coming, going, coming, going. It's constantly happening. Everything is coming, going here, isn't it? What's interesting here is, distress will come today and it'll go tomorrow and some happiness will come. And then happiness will go and then distress will come again. Isn't it? It's in daily life, it is. But something in us telling us one day it's all going to be fantastic. That hope you never give up. I don't know why it is. It's an amazing thing it is. That a feeling that it's all going to be right one day. It never came, never happened to anybody, anytime. But that illusion is such that sometime it's going to happen. That today I will work hard and I will sort all these things out. Once it's all sorted out, everything will be fine. But then something else comes on the back and hits you. And the whole thing is gone. Then again, trying to sort that out, you start the next effort for another few years. Goes on. By then the life is over and you're gone from here. This is all it's all about, isn't it? So that's why these words are so important. Jayeta gacchadi yatha tishtati. It says, you don't have any permanent position here. Coming and going, coming and going. You're a part of that coming and going business here. You're a part of that. So because it is like that, because this constant change is happening, and because everyone sees this world, all religions in this world, they have decided one thing. They ask this question that who has created this world? This is how this question came up. You can see in every religion has an explanation about creation, isn't it? In Bible, in Quran, in Puranas also, there is an explanation about creation. You must have observed that. In Bible, in 7 days God created. In Quran, I don't know what it's been said, but in Puranam there is another way of explanation. Brahma came and Brahma created this and all that things. So creation process
Why it's so interesting for everybody? Because this they are observing all the time. When they come, this is the first thing they want to know. Wow, this creation has come. And the creation is nothing but samsara, material existence it is. Jayade gachadi tishtadi.
So this is why I say Jayade gachadi. So he says here, so they are saying here, since it is all going on like this, their point is there must be someone who has created this. Just like any product in this world, there must be a manufacturer. So on the same logic they are applying to the world. Because in the world what we see is we create something and we think that if there is anything to exist, there must be a creator. Somebody must have manufactured a goods, isn't it? A camera or a car or a building, whatever it is. Somebody must have built it or manufactured it. On the same principle, they are using it and trying to think that if the world is existing like this, somebody must have made it. This is their logic. This is the reasoning behind it. And they are asking, who is to manufacture this world? That's how this question comes. Who has created this world? So, because the logic is this, because we are seeing this world with our eyes, naturally, what is our tendency? Our tendency is that in a particular way we start thinking because we are seeing through the eyes this world. That's why this thought is coming, who has created this? Isn't it? Otherwise it has no meaning, this question, who has created this world? What meaning has it got? Because when you are living in this world and you are looking at the world and seeing a lot of things through the eyes, then you are asking the question, who has created all these things? Suppose you had no eyes and you are not seeing anything, you won't ask this question, would you? So the fact that you got this one sense called eye, immediately all these questions have come up from that. So such a person that using the same logic, if there is some watch, I have to think that somebody has manufactured it. On the same logic, I have to think that somebody has created this world, manufactured this world. It has come from that. Just like there is a pot, there must be a potter who has created the pot. Similarly, therefore this principle that in 7 days God has created, in 10 days He has created, all different creations, different scriptures will tell you different times they have taken for creation. And if you say two scriptures are talking two different things, then what will happen? People will say, which one is the right one? They will ask the next question. That will be, who is the next one? So in Vedic philosophy also, for children, and those who are not very matured, advanced in spiritual understanding of life, for them, we have all this creation process explained in the Purana. That's all it is. If you start thinking, now, sometimes you people are so inquisitive to know how this creation process has happened, and nobody knows about it, to tell you the truth. And funny thing is, the creation process in Bhagavatam is different than another Puranam. In Shiva Puranam it will be different, in Vamana Puranam it's different, and in Mahabharatam it could be different again. So if you read all these different things, there will be changes, and then he gets confused. And then they ask question, how this process has happened, how this is, like Brahma created this, Brahma has created that, and then Brahma, then question will come, if Brahma could create such a world, such a creation, how come he could fall into illusion? Brahma must be such a super personality, isn't it? If he has created whole thing, then how could he fall down? And when we hear the story that Brahma fell down, isn't it? That story is also with Saraswati. So that story also we read, and then all the questions will start coming. And that question is never answered. It will remain there and carry on with the spiritual life in that way. So that's the situation. So if it is like that, if Brahma is created, we start thinking he must be sitting somewhere. He must have an office and he must have all his engineering offices and where creation goes on, all planning, design, everything, development work happening. So then we start thinking, if he is capable of doing all this, he must be really a great personality who is doing all these things. This understanding will also, our mind will tell from inside in that way. So Krishna's point is that, so if there is such a person there, you have to be really frightened of him. Because he is really powerful, isn't it? Who has created so much. And he is managing it all so well from somewhere.
remotely. He's doing everything remotely, isn't it? That is his good thing. And we have also learned this remote business. Even in management, we are now doing remotely, isn't it? Not directly anything, everything remotely. And we think it's an advanced state of management. So if you bring remote management to spiritual life, you'll be in trouble. that ends up in all the problems. So anyway, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has made a statement about that. Those who are in that state, this is necessary. Do not think that all this understanding of Brahma is wrong. What it is that till you reach that state, freedom from all these things, this is necessary to keep you interested in this whole thing. Otherwise, it is difficult. So that's why Krishna says in the 10th chapter, if you look in the Ekadasha Skandam, he will say there that his point is that, 23, he says there that Yaval Syal Gunavai Shamyam Taman Anatam Altmana Nanatam Altmano Yaval Paradandriam Tadayvahi Yavadasyal Asadandatam Tavad Ishwarado Bhayam Ya Edal Samubasiram Te Muhyandi Shujarpidaha. Two verses there. Krishna is saying there, Yaval Syal Gunavai Shamyam Tavan Anatam Altmana. That means, so long as you have these modes of nature operating at different levels in you, Gunavaishamyam called the unbalanced state of the modes inside. Sometimes predominating by Rajogunam, sometimes by Stamogunam, sometimes by Sattugunam. But as long as Gunam is there, Gunas are there inside, there is a Vaishamyam. Vaishamyam means unbalanced state of the Gunam. Yaval Syal Gunavaishamyam, whenever there is this Gunavaishamyam in a person, Taval, at that time, Nanatum Altmana, you will see this diversity in the soul. Diversity in the soul, which means the whole creation will appear reality to you, all the living entities will appear as the real to you, all the bodies will appear real to you, and all the creation will appear real to you. Nanatam Altmano Yaval Paradandrem Tadevahi. As soon as you give this Nanatam, Nanatam means this diversity. If you accept that, Paradandrem Tadevahi, you are in trouble. Parandra means you are in the grip of Maya, very strongly in the grip of Maya. Yaval Syal Gunavaishamyam Tavan Nanatam Altmana Nanatam Altmano Yaval Paradandriam Tadevahi. It is difficult for him to come out of that. Remember, I mentioned this so many times, Ekadasha Skandam is spoken in a very higher level. Till we come to that state, it is not possible to reach that state very easily in spiritual life. But the knowledge, you cannot ignore it. What is behind it, what Krishna is saying, is that from this current state where we are now, where we are accepting everything and we need a deity to accept Krishna. We need a deity to accept Krishna. That's our state at the moment. If there is no deity, we can't see Krishna anywhere. So you can see where we stand. We have to have a temple. We have to have the deity. We have to have the deity worship. And from there we have to start this whole process. But advanced people, they are not only concerned about the temple and the deity. They are seeing in a completely different level. Why? Because they know that what is important is first class devotee. You remember when we are discussed in the three kinds of devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam? The first class devotee is what? who is present in everyone Krishna's presence. He is not the one who is so much after the deity worship. It is the lowest one, Kanishta, who is in the temple all the time and who needs that temple worship and temple services, everything. He requires that. But because there is no proper knowledge of the Shastram, many people think one who goes to temple must be the most advanced one and who is always in the temple or head pujari or whatever. He must be really realized soul because always with the deity. So that is the one stage of realization. That's what Krishna says here. Yaval Syal Gunavaishamyam Tavan Nanatam Altmana Nanatam Altmano Yavad Paranandram Tadevahi. Then in the next verse, he gives this warning. What's the warning? Yavasyal Aswadandratvam Tavad Ishwarado Bhayam. When you are not free from the grip of this Maya, when you are not free from the grip of this misunderstanding, Tavad, till then, you have to be frightened about a God who is up somewhere there. You have to be frightened about Him. And Tavad Ishwarado Bhayam, the fear will be there. And that's why all religions take that stand. They frighten people. There's somebody there watching up there on you.
he's going to give you, you know, he'll deal with you in one day. He'll take care of you one day. Be careful. God-fearing, they call it. Isn't it? Sometimes, you know, in India, here you don't see that, but in India you'll see all kinds of varieties there. In the newspaper, there'll be advertisement for marriages. So they'll advertise God-fearing is one of the quality of the bride or bridegroom. Seeking bride or seeking bridegroom, the advertisement will be there. In that one other word, in every advertisement you will see, God-fearing will be there. They're all God-fearing. So if you have to be frightened about the God, then it's not worthwhile. You keep away from him rather than be frightened about him all the time. It's crazy. Syavalsyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatumal manaha. Nanatum has come to him. It is not philosophical understanding. It's a mundane understanding of God. That God-fearing business. So, yaval syal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatum alpana. Nanatum alpano yavat paranandram tadevahi. He is bound. He is in the clutches of this fear. And yavasyal asadandratvam tavad ishwarado bhayam. He is always fearful. Krishna is saying, ya edal samubhasinam te muhyandi shucharpidaha. Krishna says, edal samubhasinam te muhyandi shucharpidaha. He has only one thing Krishna says he can do. That his lamentation will never go away from him. For one reason only, that he is stuck in that state of the fearful state. God is not for fearing. Why do we have to be fearful about God? One time we are saying God is very loving and God is very considerate and God is full of mercy. On the other side we are saying we have to be frightened about God. So, that is the interesting bit there. So, here Bhagavatam says that as long as a person is in ignorance, he will be God-fearing. As long as a person is, he will fear God. God is a frightening person for him. God is a frightening person. Therefore, this is the reason one who denies the existence of God, for him, there is a feeling he is there somewhere. He's not here now, but somewhere he is there. Like Hiranyakashipu was asking, this, where is he? Where is he? Kept pushing this to Prahlada, isn't it? And Prahlada says only he is existing, nothing else is existing. That's how that conversation, if you look, between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu is very interesting. Hiranyakashipu is saying, I have not seen him anywhere. You keep talking about a thing called Vishnu. Where is this thing called Vishnu? Where is it? He says. So, Hiranyakashipu could not see him anywhere. He kept on poking this with Prahlada. Prahlada says to him, Prahlada's reply is more interesting. He says, I can't see anything else except him. This is Prahlada's answer. So then he really got angry, our Hiranyakashipu. That's why he asked, he's seen this pillar then. He asked that question, isn't it? Yes, when Prahlada looked in the pillar also, there is Krishna there, standing there. So you can see how that illusion has taken away Hiranyakashipu's ignorance that was acting. Hiranyakashipu says to him, is he there in the pillar? He says, I'm seeing him in the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu pulled out the sword and hit the pillar at that time. Narasimhamurti appeared from there, isn't it? So, so one who says God exists, he also has got doubt. Where is he? Because he has been told it's after death everything. He's waiting for that. One who is denying the existence of God, he is also in doubt. Because he's thinking up there, maybe he's there, who knows. He also is not sure about that. God doesn't. Nobody is sure that God doesn't exist. Everyone is, the one who is saying, denying the existence of God, he is also in the back of his mind, he has a doubt. Is he there somewhere else? Like Hiranyakashipu had the doubt. Yeah. So, what we have to understand is, one who accepts that God exists, and one who deny the existence of God, they are both in the same field. They are not different. Neither of them have understood what God is. For both of them are thinking somewhere else later. Isn't it? One who says that God exists, he is also not sure at all. You can say all these things, but is he there? That question is also there. So he is also not sure. As much as a person who denies the existence of God, he is also not sure about it. And they're both in the same field, in the same circle. You can put them in. So, because they are accepting this thing called God in a very childish way. Their acceptance of God is in a very childish way. Because the concept of Ishvara
is very childish in them. This is the reason when Bhagavad Gita was finishing, Krishna wanted to say very point very clearly, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. In all living entities, inside the heart, he is present. So that, where else can you give a better proof than this? Rather than if somebody tells you that he is up there, somewhere, and you don't know anything about it, all you can find out is when you get there, if it's there. But that person who tells you about the existence of God elsewhere, and that person who is denying the existence of God, they are equally the same status in spiritual life. They are not much different, isn't it? But on the other hand, Krishna knows this problem. So what Krishna said to us, Arjuna, look for me right in the heart of every living entity. That is why that verse has come from. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Brahmayan sarva bhudani yandra rudhani mayaya. All living entities are moving around in this world in circle, like in a yantrarudhani maya, like in the giant wheel. According to their karmam, they are getting rotated in that. We are getting rotated in this world. If you accept God in that way, this confusion will go. Because that is why everything in Vedantam is connected with the body, with the soul. And the soul and one's own body, one's own identity, the whole philosophy is built around that. Not with the world outside somewhere else in another planet or another situation. So, the problem is that those who are taking it like this, that one who is arguing God exists, or sometimes when we preach to people, listen, if we do that, we want to make sure that God exists. And that person is not willing to accept, then what do? Then you have to keep using all kinds of... But so both of them, they are arguing like that, but both of them, God is somewhere else. And so one who is denying this God, he is saying God is not here. But he is not sure whether God is somewhere else. That he is not sure. All he is sure about is that the God doesn't exist now here. Right in front of him. He'll ask you, show me God. He's also fool, as much as the person who is telling him that God exists somewhere else. That's also foolish, isn't it? So that is why in Vedantam, it's very clearly it said, Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhudanam. In all living entities, he is present. What else Krishna said? As soon as he said that, very next verse he said, Tameva sharanam gacha. Surrender unto him that truth who is inside you. Surrender to that truth. If you look in the 18th chapter, you will see two verses next to each other. This is all in the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. If you don't accept Bhagavad Gita in this way, it will remain as a mystery. Bhagavad Gita is not practical otherwise. Like any other book, you could also write a book in that way and say about another spiritual world in your own language, you can describe it, isn't it? And there could be people, it is like many other presentations. But why Bhagavad Gita is different? Bhagavad Gita is different because of this. That verse is 61. Yeah, okay. So you see that verse, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yantra rudhani maya. Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. If this verse, if we take it seriously, there is no need to search for Krishna anywhere else. He's right there inside us, in presence of everyone. And then in the next verse he says, Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata yat prasadal param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam. That O son of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you will attain transcendental peace and supreme and eternal abode. So here, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. If you surrender to that truth who is inside, whom he Krishna referred to as Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hridesh Arjuntashri, surrender unto him, and by his mercy you will reach that state of consciousness. That's what it means. But you will say, oh, he may reach that abode. What is that abode? Abode is that state in that realization, what you understand who you are. Your real identity will be revealed to you by surrendering unto him through the process of bhakti. So that's what it says here. So,
So there are people who argue on this basis, and their logic is like this, that sometimes people won't study Bhagavad Gita. What they will do is, in the early years in their youth, they will deny existence of God, just to show that they are important people in this world, and in their because of the ego inside, they'll find it difficult to accept. For example, there are many people. If you ask them, they will say, "I have no faith." They say, "We have no faith, in anything, no religion or no spiritual acceptance or God." Many people, you know, when they have that MSN.com. They will conduct a survey very often on various things, isn't it? So that suddenly if they'll conduct a survey, God exists, agree, disagree. And when the results come, 99% says God doesn't exist. Only 1% will say that this 1% and this 99% is in the same boat. That is the interesting thing. The 99 says God doesn't exist. But the 1% also is in the same boat who says God exists. Why? Because it's all based on this understanding he is somewhere else. And that is the problem. That's where the problem comes. So neither, even it is 60-40, it is the same result. Even it is 50-50, it is the same result. Doesn't mean anything more than that. So that is why Krishna is saying, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrdeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani indrarudhani maya. So sometimes such people, we are talking about such people who are into that category, who accept it that way. What happens to them? Sometimes they will deny the existence initially. Initially they'll deny the existence. But then some distress comes in life, some heavy distress. Somebody who were very close to them, they left. Or they got very sick. They lost their health. And they knew for the rest of their life they are in a bad state, and health, they are not going to get it back, or they'll get a stroke or any kind of, you know, heavy illness. And suddenly this person who initially denied the existence of God, he became so God conscious the next day. And every time you look, all over his forehead full of ashes, and then he has got a Bhagavad Gita in his hand all the time walking, and flowers on his ears. Suddenly overnight he has become. These are all the problems in spiritual life, because the understanding is so poor. And then what will happen? Then every morning he's going to all the temples in the world. He'll visit everywhere he can go. And then if you talk to him, he has taken to God consciousness in a very strange way. Through that distress, he has taken to it in a very strange way. On the other hand, you will get another person who was very God conscious. Every day he went to all the temples and taken initiation and taken, done everything and done with it, got the t-shirt, all that he has done. But that person suddenly, he loses his, something happens in his life. He is so miserable. He says, "No, I'm not going to temple anymore. I spent a lot of time going there. What's the result now?" He is also in the same boat. All these people are in the same category. There is no difference at all. Why? Because they have not understood what Krishna is saying there. Krishna's point is, all that is nothing to do with your Swarupam. Swarupam is different. Understand Krishna through the process of knowledge. You will find it will stay. Otherwise it won't stay. It will go according to the time, place and circumstances. It will go. So this is very common in India. You will see this in every state. No state is free from this problem. There are some political leaders who continuously deny existence of God, and they take great pride in that. And then what do? They'll be in their home. If you go, there'll be sannyasi sitting there. Daily puja is going on there. And the whole thing is so disastrous, and people laugh at it, the whole scenario. It's such a joke that outside they will reject everything just to get the votes from the public and to attract public. And public also so foolish that they will follow this kind of leaders. They'll say, "Oh, he is offering us great happiness in this world." And some of them, there are them many like this, many, many leaders who have done this to the people. Like this, saying one thing and following something else in
Right? Because there is fear inside that in order to win the election time, without anybody's knowledge, they'll be making offerings in the temples and all that. All sorts of things goes on like this. So anyway, the reason was that it's not saying just to make fun of others or to make criticize others, but the thing is this, that many people, if you fall into that state of spiritual life, so understanding, that will not help you to realize the truth. To know the truth, we have to be truthful, first of all, in our own approach. So that's why it is said that we should have the courage like Hiranyakashipu to stand up and say that it is like this. And he also said that because denying God is also a process of realizing God. Denying God is also a process. In the Bhagavadam, it is like that. You deny completely and go ahead, like Hiranyakashipu has done. So, there were many people like that in their life, in the youth, they have denied the existence of God heavily. And rest of the life, they denied the existence of God. But at the old age, they came to their senses. They came to their senses. There are many personalities who have gone through that state. And in the old age, they have absorbed in the different spiritual activities. So actually this accepting rejection and all that is all on the surface. It's all on the surface. It doesn't mean anything more than that. So if you accept something, the problem is that if any disaster comes, then people will ask the question. Say a plane crashes, 150 people died. They will say like that, why Krishna has allowed all these things to happen? They will ask, they want an answer for that from you. Because you are preaching, telling them that God exists. So they will ask you the question. And if you can't give them an answer, we satisfy them, they will reject you. And all your logic also. So this kind of question. So Krishna also, at that point you can see, sometimes you remember when natural disasters come. That is when this question always comes up. Cyclone. You know, there was a big cyclone in Andhra once. Few years ago, and a big earthquake in Gujarat. That time people started asking this question, why is it that Krishna has allowed all these things to happen? That question will naturally come. So that is why Krishna is saying here, these are childish questions. From Krishna's point of view, they are childish questions. Because when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, Arjuna got frightened. If you remember? And Arjuna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look in the 11th chapter, you will see. He says there, Akhya hi mego bhavan ugrarupa namostude deva vara prasida. There is a beautiful verse there. I think it is the verse 31. Akhya hi mego bhavan ugrarupa namostude deva vara prasida vijnyadu michyami bhavandam adhyam nahi prajanami tava pravurtim. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, when Krishna, Arjuna saw this universal form, which was very frightening to Arjuna. Arjuna says to him, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you, because please be gracious to me. I do not know what your mission is, and I desire to hear of it. That's what it is mentioned. Akhya hi mego bhavan ugrarupa namostude. Arjuna got frightened and paid his obeisances to Krishna at that time. So here the question is this, that the when cyclone, drought and earthquake things happening, Krishna says that is my another form, my form, Krishna's form. That is akhya hi mego bhavan ugra rupa namostude deva vara prasida. And it says here that see, for us, God, in our concept, I'm saying God is a very soft, nice person, like a granddad who will buy all the toys what you're asking. The grandchild thinks of granddad like that, isn't it? That's how we want, nice, soft person who won't give us any trouble. Whatever he asks, he gives you. That kind of God. This is what our concept we created inside us, isn't it? That's where that concept is coming from. That we can't imagine that Krishna has done all this to us, this earthquake,
and this calamities, natural calamities, Krishna has something to do. Then how can he do that? He's such a nice person. He's always sporting with Radharani and very kind to us. And everything is so nice. And this is how we have developed this understanding. If we develop that understanding, and not only that, even if I do something, he will tolerate that. Even if I do something wrong, he'll forgive me. And plus, also our understanding is that he's always our well-wisher. He wants to do something good for us, like a granddad. He's always careful about the grandchild, isn't it? So, in our imagination, we have created a God like that. And that's how we are living in this world, isn't it? We're living in this world. So, but our lifestyle is completely opposite to that. That what the granddad is telling us, you're not listening. You're doing everything against that. So, without proper knowledge of God, the way Bhagavad Gita is talking about, if we artificially create some concept of God in our head, we will get into problems. We'll get into problems, that's the enemy. So, okay, going to temple, bhakti, that's all nice. That's also part of the upasana margam, upasana process. But if all that does not take you to the right place at the end, it is useless. Going to the temple, chanting the holy name, deity worship, and bhakti process, all that is very nice. But at the end of the life, if you have not understood the truth properly and has not taken you to the right place, and as soon as a disaster comes in life or a distress comes in life, or just like a separation from someone who is very close to you, or any other disaster comes in, and then you have no answer and you are completely lost everything, your bearings at that time, then what is the use of that? It is then that you will know where you stand in spiritual life, what your strength is. Otherwise, it's all meaningless. So days are going by. Tomorrow, anything can happen. Body can go away, lose your strength. You could be lying elsewhere. No one will care for you. You'll be lying somewhere in some hospital. Nobody will come to see you. And whatever they give you, you have to eat. Whatever they offer you, you have to accept it. And there'll be no. And that could be for the rest of their life. Even in that situation, the tendency will be for a person who has not understood. If you can see that state also is coming from Krishna, then you have understood what Krishna is. So, when an earthquake happens, a whole society is wiped out. So many villages goes, like flood waters comes, so many villages are flooded, some people die. So many things happens in this world, in different kinds of calamity. In all these situations, Akya Himego Bhavan Ugre Rupa, Krishna's Ugrarubam is that is what God is. God is present all the time. Krishna is present in all situations. But we, as I said, when we have accepted Krishna only as the sweet smile and the flute and the peacock feather and the yellow pitambaram in dress only if you see Krishna in that way, when the other things come, you will find it difficult to accept that. Because you are used to a person like this. But there is another side to Krishna in that way. That is what Bhagavadam is telling us, and Upanishads also tells us the same thing. That's why this knowledge of Krishna has to be in this way only, Upanishad route. Otherwise it won't stay, it will go. So there will be no answer. So sometimes they will ask, what have I done? Sometimes you see in this world, people who are not following any principle, nothing, they are living happily in this world. And those who are chanting the holy name, following all the principles, all distress keeps coming to them. And then they ask this question, how much rounds I have chanted? How many times I have worshipped the deity? How much money I have given to the temple? Why I am suffering? They will ask this question, isn't it? It's all quite natural in this world. These things do happen. So, and they'll ask, after chanting so much, if this is the result, what's the point? Getting up so many mornings, I could have slept very well. And rather, I got up so early and big austerity for me, and I've done all that, and this is the result now, what has happened. And if any of your friends who have noticed that change in you, then they will get heavy with you. All your whole life is wasted, they'll say. You didn't enjoy it, and neither you got anything out of it. Ultimately, you are suffering like this. So, it is only at that point, then some people will make a decision. From now on, I'm not going to bother anything. I throw away my bead bag, books all sold, put it in chakra for sale, and I'm not reading any more books anymore. It's not necessary. I don't need any more.
tried it, didn't work, what can I do?
That's it. So the problem with these people is that none of them are ready to understand Bhagavad Gita, come to the point of knowledge of Krishna. Krishna has to be understood in a particular way, not the way we like it. There is an aspect of Krishna. That is why Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is essential to know, so that that mind does not get shaken by any of these changes, what's happening in the external world. This is where the knowledge of the soul is important. Otherwise, based on the platform of the body, if you live your life and practice spiritual life, you will, at one point or the other, you will trip from that. Unless you come to the platform of the soul or the knowledge of the soul and practice spiritual life from that state. From that state. That is why, so, they are not ready to listen. They are not ready to listen. Because why they are not ready to listen? Because very powerful vasanas inside that person. That is the reason. You know that when Krishna went back to Mathura, went to Mathura from Vrindavanam, Akrura took him, isn't it? Akrura took him to Mathura. So when they got to Mathura, Akrura invited Krishna to come to his house. Krishna says, I have some important business here, let me finish that, and then I'll come one day, he said, which he did later. But in between, one day, Krishna says to Akrura, Akrura, you go and see Pandavas, the family there in Hastinapuram. They are living there. Go and see them. Yeah? Go and see them. So, and find out what's happening there. Because Krishna already felt that things are getting closer to war. It's developing. The situation is developing like that. Krishna was expecting that happening. So what Krishna said was to Akrura, just find out what's the situation of Kunti Devi and the children there. He said like that to Akrura. So one morning, Akrura went to the palace in Hastinapur. When he went there, he thought that, and he, Krishna also gave a message to Dhritarashtra from through Akrura. Akrura took the message saying that whatever it may be, sort out peacefully with the Pandavas. Message was, Dhritarashtra was the king. So he was advised by Akrura. Krishna gave the instructions to tell him that Krishna doesn't like it, what's happening. Please sort this out and give part of the kingdom to Pandavas, and, you know, and live peacefully together. And Akrura came and spoke to Dhritarashtra about it. Dhritarashtra said, that is not possible. And eventually, he talked about five villages and five houses, and eventually one house at least. They said, no, nothing is possible, they said. So when all these things were happening, Akrura was observing Dhritarashtra's mood very carefully. He spoke about Dhritarashtra's mood at that time. So that discussion came into Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, it comes like this. That Dhritarashtra is answering to all the questions from Akrura. And Akrura is saying to Dhritarashtra, so many people have given you instructions. So many people have given you instructions. And they have told you that you should, at any cost, you should avoid this war. You should avoid this war, they say to him. So, as I say, you should avoid this war. Yeah, you should avoid this war, he said, at any cost. Dhritarashtra is smiling and saying to him, prior to Akrura coming, and even when Krishna has come and spoken, Dhritarashtra won't listen. He said, not possible. But even before that, Vedavyasa Maharshi himself went and spoke to him. And Dhritarashtra has heard everything. Vidura went and spoke to him. Dhritarashtra heard all that. Then, who else is there? Dhaumya, another sage, went and spoke to him. He heard all that. After all that, Dhritarashtra is saying, it is very difficult to avoid thee. I can't change my mind. And simultaneously he is saying to Akrura, I know Krishna is the Supreme Lord. What he is saying is right thing. He's saying the right thing. I agree with that. Whatever he has spoken is perfectly justified. He's saying the right thing and I accept it as dharma what he is saying, but I can't accept it. So, you know, Akrura asked a question, why you can't accept it? The Dhritarashtra's reply you should see. The most intelligent reply you can any come across. He is saying to Akrura, Akrura, it's like this. Krishna is sending you to me to tell you to avoid the war. Yeah? And Krishna is sitting inside me and telling me to fight the war. Now, where am I standing? What am I supposed to do? He is saying, this is our situation in this world. If you really accept it, understand this. Have you noticed, when they are small children, 4 years, 5 years, they will listen to you. Yeah? As soon as they get some 16, 17, you look at them. They will start talking back to you. And not only that, you give them all advice, they won't listen. They will do what they want. Why is it like that? This is a question, important question. That's what Dhritarashtra is answering there. This vasana inside is also Krishna's another energy working from there. And externally, Krishna is coming you, giving you all this advice of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. And these two are fighting. The internal vasana, inside vasana, and this advice from the Krishna in the form of Akrura is coming and telling you all moral instructions. These two are fighting. And in all cases, the vasana will win, not the instructions from outside. This is the truth in this world. This is always like that. Because by age of 16, 18, 20, the boys and girls, their subtle body has grown and the vasanas have become very powerful. And in that state, any advice you give from outside, it will not hit. The vasana will win against the advice, whatever advice you have given. When they are small, their vasanas are not strong enough. That's why at that age, anything you tell them, they will listen to you. But at the 18, 20 comes, whatever you tell them, they won't listen to you. That's the opposite thing will happen there. And this is the reason behind it. Outside, Krishna is coming and giving you advice. Inside, Krishna is sitting there and saying everything opposite to that. And you are stuck in between. This is our position in this world. This is how much freedom. People ask, how much freedom have I got, isn't it? This is the freedom what we have got to do in this world. That is that verse, the Dhritarashtra Uvacha. He says, Yo durvimarshapadhayani jamayedam srishwa gunan vibhajade tadanu pravishtaham tasmai namo duravabhoda vihara tandram samsara chakragadaye parameshwaraya. Beautiful verse it is in the Bhagavatam. He says, Ya durvimarshapadhaya nijamayedam. That Maya is working through the modes of nature, through a person's vasanas inside, and creating all kinds of ideas inside. Because vasana only is nothing but connected with the Maya outside. Three modes of material nature and the vasanas are together operating, isn't it? Ya durvimarshapadhaya nijamayedam. And srishtva gunan vibhajade tadanu pravishtaha. That three modes of material nature, that is, puts us in very, very awkward situations in this life. Very awkward situations. Sometimes you don't want to do something, but you are doing it. Know very well, you have studied Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam. Bhagavad Gita says like this, that, oh, it's only... Then you will look for the words, accidental fall down. How can you justify it? What accidental fall down? Your vasanas are pushing you. You have no choice. There's nothing, you don't have any independence there. Completely under the control of modes of nature is working. Eh? And so from outside you are taking Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavadam, you are reading and seeing all these wonderful ideas. But inside he is pushing you, go and do it, do it, do it. Do what you want, do what you like. This is the only life you have got to enjoy, nothing else after that. So this battle is going on from inside and outside. Krishna from inside is through the vasana, and he is saying, what he is saying, they say, tasmai namo duravabhoda vihara tandra samsara chakragadame parameshwaraya. Dhritarashtra says to Akrura, please tell Krishna when you go back to him that he is playing with all of us in this way, every one of us, and nobody can understand what he wants to do with us. Nobody understands it. Duravabhodam. And for him, it is a game, Vihara Tandram, isn't it? For him, it's fun.
with doing playing with us like this. Viharanandram. And what does he do? Samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. In that samsara chakram, in material existence, you play with us, he's playing with us, and you tell him that this is what I have told you. And when he came back and told Krishna this, Krishna smiled. That is Krishna consciousness. This is all it is all about. We are thinking Krishna is sitting there ready to punish us anytime, but he is only punishing us 24 hours, nothing else. Sometimes he gives you some understanding, sometimes he puts you into ignorance. Isn't it? That's why that verse is important. Dhritarashtra was not stupid. We think that, oh, he was such a demon and he should have... People ask like this, oh, why did he not stop Duryodhana from fighting the war? He should have... Why did he talk like that against Vidura? Why he walked out of the house and all? Who is running all these things? Krishna is doing it. Why blame Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra for this? It's only to make us understand that Krishna is in control. That is the main thing we have to understand behind everything. Neither Duryodhana nor Dhritarashtra nor any one of us have any control on our life. Completely in Krishna's control it is happening. If you understand that, then you won't blame Dhritarashtra, you don't have to blame Duryodhana either. They are all just like the pawn or the puppets. In the Bhagavadam, there is a verse there, Ishasihi Vashayaloko Yosha Dharumayyatha. Just like Ishasihi Vashayaloko, the whole world is under Krishna's control. And it is Krishna's control, everything is happening here. Krishna knows what he is doing and he will do what he wants. You don't have any choice there. It's like what? Yosha Dharumai Yatha. Just like you have this puppet show. In puppets, there's a string. From behind, the person who is playing with the puppets, he controls with the string, isn't it? Like we are all the puppets, the string is controlled from there. If we accept that, life becomes easier and very relaxed. But the moment you start thinking, I am the controller, I am the doer, we are in trouble. That is the point. That is the point. Ishasihi Vashayaloko Yosha Dharumayyatha. We have no freedom to do anything. If you make it like this, that Krishna is doing everything, it is happening in this way, that's also Krishna's decision. Some calamity comes, that's also Krishna's decision. And if life we are meant to suffer, that is also Krishna's decision. It's all Krishna's decision. So that we have to leave that to Krishna. So this, our helpless state, we have to accept first. Otherwise, it is not possible to understand this. Whereas we are trying to understand spiritual life from intellectual point of view. Trying to think, I've memorized so many verses. I have gone to Parikrama and to all these places. And I have got initiated in the right line and from the right guru and the right time. And I got my second, third, all initiations, whatever it is there. So I am entitled for this. This is our approach in spiritual life, isn't it? We think that because I've done all this, Krishna must be paying back to me now what I've done for him. That doesn't work. If we accept this principle, tasmai namo duravabhoda vihara tandram samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. Krishna is doing so many things in this world, puts us in all in different situations and puts us through in all different experiences and tells us to leave this body and come back when he decides to do so. There's no freedom practically in anyone has any freedom to do anything. This is the freedom. This understanding is what is necessary, is what is called Sharanagati. This is surrender to Krishna. When we don't accept this, saying to Krishna, oh, now I have joined this institution or that institution and I have surrendered, why I'm not getting, it's not going to happen. This understanding is more important. Tasmai namo dirvabhoda vihara tandram samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. That Krishna's control on all of us is complete. We don't have any freedom. Practically, we have no freedom. Whether we should live today or we should live tomorrow, that is in Krishna's control. Whether we should remain healthy today, tomorrow sick, that is Krishna's control. Even to the extent that whether we should breathe today or not breathe tomorrow, that is in Krishna's control. Food will digest today or not, that is in Krishna's control. Blood will circulate, Krishna's control. Heart will beat, Krishna's control. Where is the place where Krishna has no control on us? There is no place anywhere in us. And in spite of all that, we are still saying that we are in control of the situations. So that is the important thing to remember. That it is not possible. Kaliya, if you remember, Kaliya asked a question to Krishna. Do you know that? What question Kaliya asked? Kaliya is very intelligent. Kaliya is also not stupid. Kaliya is very funny that way. He says, yeah. Kaliya, after the whole Kaliya Mardhanam, that dance on Kaliya's head, Krishna danced and kicked and kicked and kicked and got rid of all that ego from inside and completely subdued and came back. And then Kaliya released him and Krishna came back to the riverbank, Yamuna riverbank. And all the Nagabatnis, Kaliya's wives and children, grandchildren, all they came and paid their respects and told Krishna that he is a snake after all. What do you expect from him? What else is there? So Kaliya caught on that. He got the knowledge from this. So he says to Krishna that you expect me to behave like a cultured person. You gave me this body like this. And this body is meant to be like that. What else can this body do? Snake means envy. And snake means anyone who gives anything to you, it will bite you. No gratitude to you at any time. So I have done exactly the same thing according to the body you have given to me. And then now you are blaming me that I am wrong. I am not wrong. You are wrong because you gave me this body. It's your fault, he said. Kaliya says to Krishna. So similarly, Dhritarashtra is also saying to Akrura the same thing. You convey this message to Krishna. The reason behind it is to tell us that practically we have no freedom in this life to do anything. The only freedom we have is to accept this, that Krishna is in control in all situations. Sometimes you will see, that is why if you accept this, you can come to terms with what's going on in this world. Otherwise, there is no logic in anything. That sometimes you find people, Krishna wants it that way, that's why it is happening. That's the way you have to understand that. So, when he said that, Sri Shuka Vacha, Sudha Goswami says, ഇത്യഭിപ്രേത്യനൃപതി അഭിപ്രായം സ യാദവ സുഹൃദ്ഭി സമനുജ്ഞാതം പുനർയതുരീമകാൽ ശശംസാരാമകൃഷ്ണാഭ്യാം ധൃതരാഷ്ട്ര വിജയേഷ്ഠിതം പാണ്ഡവാൻ പ്രതി കൗരവ്യ യഥാർത്ഥം പ്രഷിത സ്വയം. അക്രൂര ഹിയേഴ്സ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഗോസ് ബാക്ക് വെൻ ധൃതരാഷ്ട്ര സെഡ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് അക്രൂര അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ്. ധൃതരാഷ്ട്ര വാസ് മോർ കൃഷ്ണ കോൺഷ്യസ് ഇൻ വൺ സെൻസ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം ദാൻ അക്രൂര വാസ്. You see, Dhritarashtra knows very well. He is not an ordinary person. He is a very intelligent person. That is why when Pandava's Mahaprasthanam, if you read in the first canto, when at the last minute, all these great souls, they have come to play their role in Krishna's pastimes. That's how you have to see it. You can't think of them as demons and anything like that. Because they have come to play that role. After their role is over, they go back to their place where they came from. So Dhritarashtra came. And Dhritarashtra's life was to show to us that the asakti means this attachment, excessive attachment to anything, will end up in disaster in any stage. No matter which our relationship we have in this world, if it is attachment in the form of asakti it is called, the word, it will call, that he had this excessive attachment to Duryodhana, isn't it? It's my son. He cannot go wrong at any situations. So that attachment has led to all that problems and Duryodhana's mood with relationship with Krishna. And even you can see when Krishna showed the universal form to them, Dhritarashtra could not, Krishna gave him special eyesight to see that universal form. After seeing that, Dhritarashtra said, I don't want the eyes, I want my blindness back. It was so unbearable for him, but he understood who Krishna is at that time. But Duryodhana said, Krishna is showing some magic. And he would not accept it. So that is the problem with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra's life. But Dhritarashtra, at the end of life, if you look, when Vidura came and spoke to him at the last minute, that, you see, Vidura had a lot of respect for Dhritarashtra. And that is why he never gave up. Have you noticed that? He could have walked out of it. What's the point in telling him anymore? No, he never gave it up. Even after 36 years, he wandered around the whole Bharatvarsham into different pilgrimages and completely away from the war. So when the war was going to break out, he left home. Duryodhana practically threw him out from there. And he left his bow and arrow to show to Duryodhana, I'm not into war, I'm going away. And he walked out from there. And for 36 years, he wandered all around, going here, there, everywhere. And after that, he comes back and meets Uddhava there, in Yamuna River, in Vrindavanam. And then, on Uddhava's instructions, he goes to Maitreya Maharshi, takes instructions from him, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he comes back to Hastinapur, and there he meets Yudhishthira Maharaj,
and others, and from them they are understood that Krishna has left the planet, and also that Yudhishthira, Dhritarashtra Maharaj is still there living in the palace with Bhima and Yudhishthira. So at that time he felt that I have to speak some strong words to him to get out of this attachment. And that's when he went to Dhritarashtra and spoke to him. But he spoke such heavy language. Adate Grihapalavat. Grihapala means dog. You're not living like a dog now here, he says to Dhritarashtra. So that woke him up from his kshatriya, isn't it? Immediately hurt when somebody said like that. Woke up from that and said that I'm leaving. And then he walked out to the Haridwar, and then to the Himalayas he went. Kunti Devi and others followed him. Or everybody, Madri also left. And also you will see there that he practiced Raja Yogam. So that means he knew all the yoga systems well. Although he was blind, he practiced Raja Yogam. Mahabharatam says like that. And that's how he left his body in the forest. He left this world. So I mean, they were capable people. They were not completely ignorant about things. They were capable people, but they had to play that role of the Dhritarashtra, and then he left this world at that time. So, coming back to Ishobanishad, why I was saying this was that the connection with that, unless we accept knowledge from Bhagavad Gita in the proper way, and take it and develop spiritual life, our spiritual life can and fall from the track. It will not stay like that. So it is difficult to control our vasanas inside and to become, in the eyes of the world, to become good people. So in the externally, in others' eyes, we may appear nice, good, and also we live a life that we are living a proper spiritual life for, to impress others that I'm living in a spiritual life. But suddenly a distress comes and it completely smashes all your faith in life. Smashes all your faith in life. And in that situation, what will happen? They'll go back to the material life again. Again, go back to the material life. So then what they are saying is that I cannot go back to, not that I don't believe in God, what they will say is that I cannot bear this distress what has come to me. So that is where the situation. So let's just like people say that I'm taking alcohol because I have a lot of problems in my life. Some people say like that, isn't it? They drink because of problems in life. So therefore I'm drinking. So, in the same way, in the world outside, Krishna is somewhere. We don't know where he is, Ishvara. So, if he is somewhere, then it will create problem for you. If you keep thinking like that, he is somewhere else, but not here. That's why it is so particular. Upanishads are very particular about this. They very strongly emphasize this point, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam. In Bhagavad Gita, in so many places, Krishna has used the same principle. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade idimatva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvidaha. One who sees like that and worships me, he is understanding. His understanding is proper. Isn't it? His understanding is proper. In another place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is again says this, isn't it? Aham atma guda kesha sarva bhuda shayastida aham adhyanja madhyanja bhudanam andamevaja. Again you can see that aham, aham, aham is inside here. That person who is inside telling his presence, consciousness, awareness inside, that is something important to be taken note of. That's why Krishna is saying like that. So, otherwise, if you start thinking he has created this world and he is going and hiding somewhere, he's not coming here. Only when I finish this creation, I can go there and live there with him. If you think like that, it will create a lot of problems. Because when this distress comes, you will be lost. You won't be able to handle it. That is the problem, when you think in that way. Therefore, this importance is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is present right there inside you. He's present there. His presence has to be recognized. That's why verse after verse Krishna is saying like this. So, that's why Shruti is saying here, cover everything with Krishna. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. That's where it is coming from. So, don't give anything outside Krishna. Bring Krishna in everything. And good, bad, better, all these different kinds of fault, all these kinds of things, cover everything with Krishna. And what will happen is that this will have a great impact or implications. In the Bhakti Margam, for example, sometimes we have this, let me engage in bhakti process. Jnanam, I will not bother about it now. I will leave it for the later because it is not possible for me to develop that. But at least if it is like that, the very minimum we have to accept that behind everything what's happening, Krishna is present there. That much we have to accept at least, very minimum. Otherwise, we can immediately get off the track from the spiritual life. If we simply execute a bhakti purely based on the understanding I am this body without any knowledge of Krishna's presence in this world, if we execute spiritual life without knowledge of Krishna's presence in this world, very easily you can fall away from the bhakti. Or bhakti will go. At some point in time it won't stay. So, see, the thing is this, that the knowledge of God or Ishvara or Krishna, so we have to accept His presence in everything. Otherwise, what is normally happens is, life for us is not this 50-60 years of time in this world. This is not exactly the life means. So, and you cannot judge a God based on the some distress or happiness that has come to you in the short span of time. You cannot judge God based on that. That will be a very foolish thing to do. That's why everybody does, isn't it? Most of the people, they accept God or reject God based on the experience they have in life. Isn't it? So, the point is, Upanishads are saying to us, don't take your 50-60 years of life in this world as everything, number one. And don't judge God based on your this small experience of a 50 or 60 years in this world, who God is and what God can do and what God cannot do. So, and you can't measure God with that or make a decision about it, and don't endeavor in that direction. And on the other hand, Ishavasa Upanishad is saying, always see Krishna's presence in everything, all the time. In that way, you can escape from this identity with the body and you will come to the perfect understanding of God rather than the imperfect understanding what we have at the moment. Most of the people, why we come to Krishna consciousness? Because some distress comes in life. Some unhappiness comes in life. Suppose everything was going fantastic in life. Making a lot of money, living a good life, comforts, no tension, no stress in life, no responsibility, no anxiety about anything. Will anyone listen to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? They'll say, that's all for old people, they'll say. Or not for me at this stage in life. So why have we come to Krishna consciousness? Because somewhere inside we are experiencing some distress. There is no question about that. But based on that distress, we can't form a God in our own mind, in our own way. That we can't do. That will be wrong thing. Because that's what happens. Then we come to thinking about God. We hear from something and then we say some magic God has done or a God-man has done, that He has got relieved your distress in this way, gave you some ashes or gave you something like that, and some tricks He has performed, whatever it is, some siddhis, or due to that you get attracted to Him and then you start seeing Him through that all the time. But God is something different than all that. That's why Bhagavad Gita is saying to us like this, that Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. So, in this short span of life, a short period of time, we have experienced some distress or happiness. Based on that, you can't judge a God. You can't create a God based on that experiences. So, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Tameva Sharanam Gacham. Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart and controlling us. And all bhavam, all experiences, whether it is good or bad, and without thinking it is good or bad. And it is better, Ishwaranitar says, that to make the whole life Krishna conscious. That is the proper way. Not to judge, keep judging God, he is doing good to me or bad to me, or he is favorable to me or not favorable to me. These are all normally in our mind, isn't it? As devotees, we start thinking, let's see what Krishna is going to do for me now. Whether he is going to do this and get me out of this trouble or get me out of that trouble. This way we are constantly relating with Krishna in that way. But that is in the stage when you have not properly understood what God's relationship with us is. Therefore, Krishna wants it to be very clear to us, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hridayeshi Arjuna Tishtati. He is sitting here, he is doing what he wants with us, Brahmayana Sarvabhudani, like a Yantra Rudhani Maya. Just like Maya's this cogwheel of this thing called samsaram, we are getting sometimes happy, sometimes distressed, sometimes happy, sometimes distressed. Up and down in that wheel of samsaram, we are keep on moving. In all circumstances, to accept, Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Next words, you remember? Krishna saying, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Therefore, completely surrender unto Krishna. How? Ishavasimidam Sarvam. Only Krishna exists, nothing else. If we develop that, Krishna says, in due course of time, this, based on this happiness and distress of this world, your spiritual life will not be driven by that anymore. It will go away from you. Because you know that all this happiness and distress is in relationship with the mind and the body. So whenever we practice spiritual life, it has to be based on knowledge, it has to be based on the spiritual platform, it has to be based on the soul, not based on the body. Yeah? So this is the important concept. That is why this verse is important. Ishavasimidam sarvam. Yat kincha chakatyam chakat. Otherwise, if we don't need this verse, say if we don't have this verse, don't tell us like this, what we will do? We will still think going to temple and we'll chant a few rounds, and every relationship with Krishna will be purely on a business relationship. It will continue to be like that. I have seen also that happening. Even when we apply for planning permission, they will take the planning permission to the deity, asking the deity to give the planning permission first. Things can get to that stage even. You know? Why? Because we have not understood what Krishna is. What is Krishna doing in this world? Dhritarashtra has better realizations than us. In that sense. You see how he has spoken. Tasmai namo diravabhoda vihara tandra samsara chakra gadaye parameshwaraya. And when Dhritarashtra said that, Akrura went back and reported that to Krishna. Krishna just smiled. Because he understood. Dhritarashtra has understood it. What Dhritarashtra should understand, he has understood that. And that pleased Krishna actually, with Dhritarashtra. Krishna is respectful to Dhritarashtra all the time. Never, in spite of the fact that he advised him to give up. While he was telling Dhritarashtra to abandon Duryodhana, inside he is telling him, sitting there, don't abandon him. This is what he was doing. This is what Krishna has done to everybody. And to Arjuna also, the same thing. And on the one hand, he was giving all this understanding, and from inside, he was telling, making Arjuna to say that, I am this, I am that. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapayam Achyuta. So Achyuta is a driver standing there. He's calling his driver, take the chariot there and park it there, he says. In the beginning, isn't it? In the beginning? That's all. Who is doing this? Making Arjuna to think like that. You know how it is, isn't it? As though Krishna was his driver, car driver. You said the car driver, isn't it? Can you bring the car here? Let me get into car. Same way. So, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapayam Achyuta. Between the army, bring the park the car there, he says. Chariot there. And that Arjuna at the end, he says, Siddhosmi Gadasandeham, he says, I have understood now who you are. Now I have no doubts, he says to Krishna. So, to bring him to that state, Krishna has to speak all these things, including universal form, he has to show to him that it is me who is doing it, not you. He wanted to make. This is the whole principle of Bhagavad Gita. If you have understood this, then you don't have to touch Bhagavad Gita after that. If you have accepted this. But we can't accept it. That's the next moment you come out, the other thing will start again. This is the problem. Just to get this point across to Arjuna. Arjuna thought that I am the doer. Isn't it? I won't fight. He is my guru. He is my teacher. Drona is this. Bhishma is that. They are all my relatives. I am not going to fight. Wanted to be a gentleman. Krishna says, you are not fighting. I am fighting. I am the one who makes the decision.
Remember, in the Bhagavatam, this will you will see this, that at the last minute, you see, when the Mahabharata war happened, Bhishma was present there in the war, isn't it? So, the day till Bhishma fell in the battle, everything was going on well, and Dhritarashtra also never thought that they are going to lose the battle. They thought Krishna is on the other side, yes, I agree all that, but when Bhishma is there, what is the possibility of losing the battle? This was the way his mind was working. And on that eighth day, when Bhishma fell, first time Dhritarashtra got a shock in his life. If Bhishma can die, then the chances of others surviving is very little. Drona or Karna or many others, big fighters. If Bhishma can die, what chance? That is when first time Dhritarashtra got the message. Clearly what's happening there. So, Bhishma is like that. Bhishma's relationship with Krishna in the Bhagavatam is a very, very interesting aspect of... Actually, you can see that before the war happened, that Bhagavad Gita was spoken. When Bhagavad Gita was spoken, when Krishna was talking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and showed this universal form to Arjuna, Arjuna saw that one after the other, everyone dying. That's what he saw. Bhishma, Drona, they are all coming and falling into the mouth of the universal form, isn't it? You know that. Huh? It's there in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says to Arjuna, do not get frightened. This war is already over. But then why should I fight? Then Arjuna's question was, Krishna's answer to that was, if you fight, you will get the credit, that's all, that you have killed them. But actually they have all been killed. They have already finished, the business is over, he says. So Arjuna found that a bit difficult, but eventually he had to accept that after hearing from Krishna that that's what prompted Arjuna to fight later. But this, if you read in the Bhagavad Gita, you will notice this, Krishna giving this warning to Arjuna that the war is over, even before the war has happened, the war is over. So now the question will come, how do we say this? The Bhishma gives the answer to that. When the whole war was over and everything was finished, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dharmaputra, got a little bit disturbed, isn't it, about the war. And he blamed Krishna for everything what has happened. You know that in the Mahabharata. That story is famous, isn't it? So Arjuna says to Krishna, when I was in a crisis like that, because Arjuna has not forgotten then what happened in the battlefield. I was in a crisis like that, you spoke to me, Bhagavad Gita, and got me out of the trouble. And I could fight the war without a problem. Could you not do the same thing with Yudhishthira also? Could you not speak to him? Krishna says, I don't think he will accept what I am saying, but I'll tell him anyway. So, in the assembly of the, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's assembly, when all the Pandavas were there, all the sages were there, and Arjuna was there, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira. Not 700 verses. A lot more, with a lot of examples, everything he spoke in depth, in detail to Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira was hearing all these things and he fell asleep. While Bhagavad Gita was spoke to, he fell asleep. And then after a while, when Krishna finished, Yudhishthira got up and asked him, are you finished now? He says to him. So Krishna says to Arjuna, this is how your brother is, elder brother. He will not accept from me. So then Arjuna asked, whom will you accept from? Then he said, let's go to Bhishma. Because he had respect for Bhishma. Yudhishthira had respect for Bhishma. He didn't have that kind of respect towards Krishna. The respect was towards Bhishma more. The Bhishma was such a respectable personality. So when they eventually, Krishna decided, this is all planned from behind. Nobody understands what Krishna's plans are. Krishna had many intentions. One thing, Bhishma is his devotee. And a jnani. He's leaving his body. He wants me there. I have to go there. Yudhishthira has problem with me, not understanding who is behind all this.
the master craftsman behind all this. So let him understand from Bhishma everything. And all those sages, they wanted to see how to leave this body in this world. So various things was behind this idea why Krishna decided to go to see Bhishma. So with everyone together, Yudhishthira, Krishna says to Yudhishthira, let's go and ask Bhishma what he has to say about the war. So Yudhishthira says at that time, you have killed him also, isn't it, in the war? What have you done? Like you got us all into trouble. You killed him and sent him away from here, isn't it? Krishna says, no, he has not left his body. He's still there, lying there on the bed of arrows. So let's go to him and see what he's got to say. So they all go together there. All the great sages came there, knowing well Krishna and the Pandavas have gone there to see Bhishma. So at that time, and there is this conversation between Bhishma and Krishna. And that says, looking at Krishna, Bhishma is talking to Yudhishthira. Looking at Krishna, Bhishma is talking to Yudhishthira. What is he saying to him? He says that, you know, this personality who is sitting there, who is standing here, you don't know who he is. In the beginning, before this war happened, you were thinking that Bhishma was there, Drona was there, and you're going to have fight with all of us to win this war. But actually, you remember, I was listening to this. You were asking him to bring the chariot in between us. Ratham sthapayam achyuta senayor ubhayor madhye. Bring the chariot and park it there. At that time, understood the war is over. Why? Suddenly he got up from the seat in the chariot and looked at us. And first he was introducing that who is standing there is Bhishma. He will look at me and then he will look at you. Every time he look at me, he has taken my life out and handed over to you. And he has done with this everyone in the army. So I knew very well that the war is finished. There is nothing more to be. That is why Bhishma was a more realized soul he was. He knew what was happening. But then I had to fight the war because I have been given this dress. I have eaten Duryodhana's food. I have to fight the war. I fought the war. That's all. But I knew the result already. So that's why I'm saying that they all knew who is Krishna. Who is Krishna's position there. That is what Dhritarashtra is also saying. That Duryodhana is also knew about this. And eventually Bhishma, Drona, they're all jnanis. They're all realized souls. But they all knew who Krishna's position is. So that is the important thing there. So we'll have a short stop today. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. And we'll have a few minutes kirtan and then stop it.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.